Call the City of Franklin's committee to hold to order. Quick, just take a roll.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Olson?
Here.
Alderman Salmon?
Here.
Alderman Welkman?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderman Scrum?
Here.
Please rise, join with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here's the first item on we have the business is item A, Eagle Scout Leadership Service Project presentation by Scott Skoransky, authorization to upgrade lumber to cedar for the construction of a gazebo in Ken Wendell Park with funding from the Parks Department 2011 Capital Outlay Park Improvement Fund. Is Mr. Schaefer? You have parties that look like a couple of familiar faces in the audience there. The name seems familiar to me.
Yeah, I believe Scott was going to do his presentation.
Let me give him a microphone.
Jack.
Sure. If you could you please state your name and address for the record?
Scott Skoransky, 7960 South 116th Street.
I have to comment. I always wondered what you looked like when you weren't wearing those Clement sausage hot dog outfits.
I recognize the legs. There you go.
Welcome.
All right, so my Eagle project so far is I'm building a gazebo at Ken Wendell Park on Rawson and North Cape, Franklin. The plans are turned out to be the concrete slab is 18 foot, four and three quarter inches, and then that's going to be an octagon. Each side is 7 foot, 6 inches. And then the actual plan. I'm sure you can see that. This is what it'll look like as a finished product. It's going to be made out of cedar. If you guys approve it tonight, my original plan was to make it out of treated, but then I decided cedar was a better choice. So the prices so far. This is the treated, which would be this is the treated, which would be $2,245, and then the cedar would be moved up to $3,249.
Okay. Mr. Schaefer, you got anything to say on this?
The Park Commission did review this. Scott had come to two or three of the meetings and reviewed everything with the Park Commission, and they were in favor of this. Kenwood Park actually has a rented area so that the Park Commission believes that having something like this there would be where people wanted to come outside because it's actually an indoor facility, but they like to come outside and sit and do whatever they would do. For that, it would be placed real close to the place structure that's there so that, again, the parents with the kids, they could also use the facility for that. There is a shade kiosk also at Ken Wendell Park. That was also an Eagle Scout project. And that's on would be the east side of the park, and that's very close to the fast rooms. So it's somewhat out of the way for the people at the
And there's funding that's available? It's already been budgeted, or?
Yes, the Park Commission recommended they would prefer to see the cedar, and that would be the part that the Park Commission thought that we could take out of our, it would be it's actually in the operating capital of the plan, or probably not, but we do still have the funds available. That would be up to $20,000.
Alderman Skoransky?
Now, maybe Scott would like to let the council know that due to his negotiating skills, he's going to be able to save some money for the city. You'd like to explain that?
I'll was able to get the concrete donated by Zignago, so that's saving the $1,500 that the city would pay for the concrete.
Great. Any other, Alderman Solomon, did you want to say?
This is a perfect project. Scott's done a yeoman's job getting the dollars so far for the project. You expect to get this done this year?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. That's just so we don't get a snowstorm like the head out east. Good luck with your time frame.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Skansky.
How many other projects have we kicked in on funds for Eagle Scouts? Because I know I've worked with Eagle Scouts and it's always been their job to raise the funds and get the whole project approved. So once we have these projects, then they become the city's responsibility to maintain them. And so that's why the need for the cedar versus the...
Yes, the thought was, one appearance, but also as an appearance. As if we had to restain the structure of one
Alderman Skansky?
Yeah, just so it's understood that the base will go in this year and then the structure would start in spring to go up over top it. So it's not going to be all completed this year, but the most important part is to do the excavating, put the concrete slab in, get it all prepared where it can go for springs, then it'll continue in spring and be completed.
I guess I would be remiss if I didn't say that if it wasn't for the scouts in this community that many of our programs, many of the things that we do, like the 50th celebration, I remember like you and your dad and the whole troop camped out over at the sports complex to make that whole thing possible. And there's been countless activities in the city that the scouts have been totally behind. And I get more compliments on that war memorial than I think anything else that's in the city. And I just wanted to make sure that you understand that we appreciate, I think I speak for all of us, that we really appreciate all that scouting has done for this community. And I can't be prouder than I am to be the mayor of a city with so many Eagle Scouts. It's very rare in Wisconsin or a nation to have that many Eagle Scouts here, so it's really a good thing. Alderman Taylor?
So basically you propose, just so I get this straight, you propose using regular treated lumber, and then in conversations with the Parks Board came to the conclusion that having cedar would be better for maintenance. Is that pretty much how the time kind of went around? I'm just surprised it's not brick.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised it's not brick, a brick veneer or something like that. But I support it. I think it's a great idea. I think it makes sense to probably do it right first time and then have to deal with the maintenance issues, because you would have to stain it, what, every couple of years, or how often do you think you'd have to stain it?
Well, with the cedar we have at Market Square, we actually, that's been at least 10 years, we've had to do it once.
Yeah.
So that's
over time, it will be cost effective, I guess. All right, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, this will be on tomorrow night's agenda for the council to vote on, but I think that from what I'm seeing, it's almost unanimous support here. So before I turn it over to Alderman Skransky, thank you for selecting this project for your city. I know that you could have selected a whole host of cities, but really appreciate it. Alderman Skransky.
Will he be needed to be here at the council meeting tomorrow, because he does have other obligations in his school activities and things? So.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Alderman Solomon?
I will move to approve this tomorrow night when it comes up for the agenda item.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Getting ready for that snow. All right, next item on the agenda is concept review for a proposed Gordon Food Service Marketplace and future commercial developments. Mr. Deedle?
Good evening. I believe the applicants are here, and they'll be prepared to give a presentation about the project as well, so I'll be real brief. As a concept review, the applicant is looking for some guidance and direction from the council. They have started the process. They've talked to staff a few times. They have had some meetings with staff. We still have to do a couple steps, for instance, the development review team. But pretty much they have an idea what they want to do. They gave some good detailed and still conceptual plans for the common council to look at. They are proposing to develop a new building at the location where the Golden Corral was proposed. They are proposing to just lease the property from the owner. They would be building one building just for themselves at this time. They would be leaving enough room for an addition to the building in some future time. If they don't know what time that would be. A future building could potentially be a retail use or a restaurant. But they're proposing to build initially, and for themselves, would be a Board of Food Services marketplace. Sort of like a grocery store, but more oriented towards restaurants and big consumers, but the general public would be allowed and invited to go there as well. It is located in PDD number 10, so it would require a PDD amendment. It is, that property has been identified for commercial uses, both in the comprehensive plan and in the 27th Street plan. So it would be as a use, would generally be consistent with those two plans. The 27th Street standards would apply to this project. They are going to use a lot of brick, so that may not be an issue from an architectural standpoint as much, although there could be an issue with what they do with the north side of the building, where they're proposing to put the addition on at some point in the future. They would have a fairly standard blank wall. It would still, I believe at this point, propose to have a brick veneer on it. And there are issues in terms of the second use and the parking. If they would decide to do a restaurant as a second use, the parking probably will be very, very, very tight, even with the new standards that we have. There would be an interest on staff, both planning and engineering, to provide the cross accesses immediately and not hold off for a second phase. So bottom line, it is consistent with the zoning, except it needs a PDD. It is consistent with the plans. They may have to deal with some of the 27th Street standards in terms of pedestrian connections and those kinds of things. But we don't see anything insurmountable there. Other than that, I guess I'd invite the applicant to come up and give a more detailed presentation.
While he's doing that, there was some discussion about looking at the, what is it, the Superfund site, the Fadro Superfund site for parking, when their Dental Associates was thinking about that. Is that something that could be looked at for the future for additional parking?
Yes, there are opportunities not only with the Superfund property, but there may also be opportunities with the Gander Mountain site. There will not be opportunities with the Dental Associates project. They wished they would have even more parking than they have, but we'd still want to have that cross access just in case those opportunities arise. And of course, if anybody wants to shop in between those developments, that would keep some of the traffic off of 27th Street.
And what happened to the Golden Corral?
We've been trying to contact the owner to get a concrete answer, and not been able to get one yet. We have heard, so I don't know if I want to mention that, we have heard that there was some kind of contractual obligation between the owner that there would be no future restaurant at that site for a number of years. I believe that would have expired a year or two ago. So other than that, then maybe the economy, I haven't gotten an answer from that.
Okay. Good evening. Nice to see you gentlemen again. If you could please state your name and address for the record, much appreciated.
Sure. Bill Casey, 428 50th Street, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Peter Blazer, CDR Group, 777 East Wisconsin,
please proceed. I guess I'll just start by saying the concept reviews used to be held with the Plan Commission, and we moved it to the Common Council for, I guess, two reasons. One was that the didn't want to waste businesses' time if there was, you know, if there was opposition at the Common Council level right off the bat, there's a lot of time and money that was invested in the past when individuals would go for the concept review, and then later on they would get rejected at the council. So that was one of the main reasons for it being here. And concept reviews are for us to ask you a lot of questions and for you to try and garner as much information from us as possible so that you'll know if it's a good project for you or not. So if you would proceed, please.
Thanks for the opportunity. We do, as mentioned, we haven't met with the development review team yet, staff level. We will be doing that this Thursday. Our thought was we would be able to take some comments here, meet with the development review team, and have a good understanding on both sides of what our next steps with the planning commission would be. I don't want to belabor the Golden Corral question or anything. I have a letter from the owner. There's a couple clarifications I would like to make. We will be leasing the land, the remaining property. We will not be the ones doing any future development on it or leasing that land. So we're only leasing a portion of the land that will remain in the landowner's control for future development. At the same time, they have to approve our plans so that we're not leaving them with something they don't feel they can work with, and they have. We met with the owner tonight for approximately about an hour prior to this meeting to go over the plans to make sure that he was on board with everything, which he is. He provided a letter in case anyone wanted to see that. Any answer that I've received about the Golden Corral is, at this time, they've been unable to get financing for any restaurants, and they don't see when that's going to change. Therefore, their desire to open a restaurant there has, it hasn't happened. So they're looking for alternative ways to generate income.
Thank you.
Sure. I'll tell you a brief background of GFS Marketplace Stores. We're a division of Gordon Food Service. Gordon Food Service is the largest privately held food distribution company in the country. We're the fourth largest overall, but we're the largest privately held. We're still family owned. We're run by the Gordon family. We are based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We now operate 148 GFS Marketplace stores. As I said, it is one division of the company. The company has a few large divisions. We have a Canadian division. We have a U.S. national chain division. We have a non-commercial division. The non-commercial would be the division that supplies schools, public schools, colleges, hospitals. The chain division, we supply Culver's restaurants, Bob Evans, Cozy Sandwiches, those sorts of restaurants. And our broadline food service distribution, which is the independent restaurateur. Someone who might have one restaurant, someone who might have two, three, four, or five. In the late 70s, we started the GFS Marketplace stores. They originally birthed out of being able to better service those customers that receive a truck from our distribution center. And let's say they have a great weekend. They receive their truck deliveries on Tuesday. They have a great weekend of sales and realize we don't have enough product on Sunday to get us through Sunday dinner and Monday until our truck comes. So that customer would always run to a Sam's Club or a Costco or something, that sort of store or grocery store. And so we tested a store concept to see if we could start servicing those customers. The store started to do well. We noticed that we opened it to the public. We noticed that the majority of our sales were public retail sales that were occurring. So we changed some of the products that are in there. We made the labels more advanced. We gave it a more retail look. We started saying, okay, you can only buy a case of salmon. Well, most of us can't even figure out when we're going to eat an entire case of salmon, so let's downsize that into a 5-pound bag of salmon or whitefish or something along those lines. So we took the wholesale product and created it a little more retail size, yet at the same time not abandoning the restaurant quality that we were serving to the restaurants, and also not taking it to a level of a warehouse feel. I mean, our stores are very, very nice retail shopping feel to them. It's not something where we just drop product in there. It's a very nice retail deal. We have a store that we just opened in West Milwaukee on Miller Parkway. If anyone would like to take a look at that and see the inside, we also have a store in Mount Pleasant at Highway 20 and 31. Those would give you a good idea of the products that are in our store. I can go in and buy a loaf of bread. I can go in and buy a gallon of milk. I can't go in and buy a dozen eggs. I buy two dozen eggs. So there's some of those products where we don't have your convenience sort of food shopping. So we are different than a grocery store. Our primary customers that shop at GFS Marketplace are individual retail shoppers, individuals hosting events, home banquets, graduation parties, retirement gatherings, holiday meals, picnics, and this is all restaurant quality, the same product that we're selling to the actual restaurants. And we just selected, there's about 4,000 SKUs in our stores, and we carry 40,000 from our distribution center. So you can see it's a scaled-down version. The nice thing about our stores is if there's a specific type of St. Louis rib or something that you want that you can't find somewhere, our distribution center sells it. It can be next day delivered to the store, and you're able to pick it up. So people who are shopping at parties really see that as a convenience factor. Now they're able to get that specific type of meat or whatever they've been waiting for a large event and get some of it. And you know, something like that might take a community to get to the first day. So that's a little bit of the store. Our stores, any restaurant that might shop the store doesn't shop it. No trucks leave our store to service those restaurants. The trucks go right from our distribution center, which we have one located in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and service right to the restaurant. So none of that business comes through the store other than the restaurateur who is in the local area, and this store happens to be closed. He sends one of his people or himself to run into the store in his car to buy a couple extra cans of sauce or something to carry them over. So it's really just a retail shopper coming in. It's just he happens to be buying from the business. Sometimes I need to make sure that's clear, because sometimes people can get confused because we're a wholesale food distribution company, and I need to make sure that it's pretty clear that we're not a wholesale store that's going in into an area. So, and that's a, when people aren't familiar with our stores, that's a common.
The one that you have in Mount Pleasant, I went down and took a tour of it and met with the manager, all that. It looked like the single loading dock was at the back of the building.
It is.
And it was away from the view of the public off the street. What is that, 20 and, I mean, 20 and 31?
Yes.
That's kind of like the heart of their whole retail center. So I just wanted to.
Yes, and we do have just one truck dock. We do try to keep it screened as much as possible. We also, people ask how many deliveries do we get a week. We usually get between 2 and 3 semis a week. It would be a Gordon Food Service truck from the distribution center coming to the store to unload product for it to be stocked in the store. And then the only other trucks we receive are the small delivery trucks, the Coca-Cola guy or the bread truck, something of that nature that is the smaller truck. So not a lot of truck traffic. That's why we do just have the one truck come. People ask me about parking. A typical store, if I didn't have any zoning requirements, I would say I need between 60 and 70 parking spaces. No one held me to any standard. That's how I would build my store. The store we just built in West Milwaukee has 64 parking spaces.
That's on. I was just with Ron Hayward this afternoon. He's the president of West Milwaukee. And That's right on the main drag. That's right on Miller Parkway.
Yes. Yes.
How many spaces in this?
On the plan here, on the overall plan, I think there's 119 spaces. And not that we would develop all at one time. The spots that we have placed around our store, I believe there's 67.
I'm with you, Alderman.
Also. I know.
But you knew it was coming.
Yep. Yes, I did. We're both looking at each other because we hate these seas of parking spaces.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just 67 around our store. We did a couple things. We pushed our store as close as we can with leaving a row of parking in front of our store. Still, we had originally, when we first came up with our plan, we had two rows of parking in the front. Met with Kristen, and that was one of her suggestions. Hey, if you can get your building a little bit closer to the road, I know people would appreciate that. From a basic plan.
How would you feel about zero row of parking in the front?
We would struggle. We would struggle because our front door is on the corner entry there. So our prime parking does end up being in that area. But the other reason I think on this site that you would struggle is from a circulation standpoint for the future and from a fire safety standpoint. I don't know if it would work.
Well, the design standards for 27th Street contemplate the building being up against the property line. And we do that, or back in the day when that design standard was put out, it was done for a specific reason. We wanted to have a certain amount of massing towards the street for a particular look to the architecture along the street and to put parking in front of it. By the way, let me back up. I support having you guys here. That's great. I have some issues with the site layout and a little bit with the architecture. This is one of my big issues. But there was a particular reason why we wanted the buildings up against the street, and it was to create a particular ambience and a streetscape that this would not at all come close to helping. Your neighbors next door at Dental Associates had a similar comment, and we were able to work out back when they were had their concept. We were able to work that out where they pushed their building all the way to the front. They had a small circulation on the north side of the building for entrance. It's a different application, but there's still a lot of people coming and going similar to yours. So I would urge you to move the building forward to the street, drop a row of parking, perhaps indent your building such as you can. I'm not an architect. I don't even play one on TV. So. That's for smarter people than I to figure out. But the streetscape is designed to make this a destination. If we put, and this is an attractive building, in a normal situation, we're looking for better than normal on this street. If you told me somewhere else in the city we were going to put this, I would have very little heartburn. But the drive is to build that street as a destination.
Alderman Skrzynski.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of visiting your Kenosha store, and there's some pictures I passed around to the other aldermen, and I have some here that I was down there, had lunch across the street by the restaurant, and viewed the activity that was going on. I thought you're running a good business there. It was very neat and clean. Your manager that I talked to was very congenial. That is Janelle Polinski and Brian Wells, and Brian was there at the time. I think it's going to be a great asset. I agree with Alderman Olson. I think we're trying to keep the parking away from the front of the street. There are sidewalks that are going to be continuing down that street. I understand the design concept that you have to the building and where your corner entrance is chamfered and cut off instead of being square. To give a little more appeal and a wider entrance to the building. The facade of being all brick is prominent with the fieldstone accent pieces. The glass is fine, and I noticed that you use posters in the windows as an advertising item. I don't have too much problem with it, but if that could be a little more low-key, that would probably be all right. I understand the shrubberies and the trees in front. You can't have a lot that would block off the exposure of your building, and I can go along with that lower type shrubs and things of the nature that you have down in Kenosha would be fine. Once they get a little more mature, they'll fill into space. The overabundance of parking, I think, is overkill. I don't see where that would be needed. Based at the time we were down there, there was, unless there's one glut of time that a lot of people come into that store, maybe weekends or something like that, you need the additional parking. As far as the loading dock in the back, it was well presented in the back. It was not visible, and it, I think, works well to the west because you have all parking lot back there at the Gander Mountain. I would require that you have cross access to any future lot that would be to the north and to Gander Mountain, because you have more circulation. It's great. And other than that, I think with the low signage that you have on the building, would be great. I think he would be a great asset to the community, and I think there's a lot of businesses, as I talked to a lot of business and acquired with a lot of business, they look forward. A lot of the restaurants that I know do buy your product in town, and they're well satisfied with your service and the quality of your product, mostly the taverns and the restaurants that I know of. So I think it would be good, and we look forward to you being here. Thank you.
I too would like to see them building roof a little bit to the front. Can you tell me how many employees normally you have in a facility like this?
25 to 30.
At one time?
No, not at one time. Six to seven.
Six to seven, okay. Joel, are these islands to the west of this property? Those huge islands, what are those utilized for?
They overlap the property boundary.
The two big ones?
Yeah, I would assume that those would just be for landscaping.
I mean, it seems as if we move the building towards 27th Street, you know, we could gain a lot of parking if we get rid of those two things to a larger degree, and you could put that parking on that back side back there.
Possibly.
Yeah. Working with the landowner that you're leasing the land from. Because it appears that there's a spot to reduce those islands between the two properties. Just a thought. But moving forward, go ahead.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Olson.
Well, I like the concept of the store. I too want it further to the 27th Street. I think that would be more appropriate, especially with the Democratic there. I have to say the parking that's there right now with Gander Mountain between the two, there's just a huge amount of extra parking that's there. And we either need to think about having that area ripped up and something else put in between there, or letting them use some of that parking somehow, because it's such a waste. I have never seen that parking lot being used. It's just like a big turnaround. But I did draw a line on the front where your diagonal doorway is on the front there, over the diagonal part of the building. And I just drew that straight diagonal all the way to the sidewalk, maybe a longer part of that building. You see how that might be able to do that? You just take that the line that's closest to where the trash receptacle is, that corner of the building that's clipped up, and then draw that line directly north and east all the way to the sidewalk. You end up with closing off that parking area. Is that something that might be possible to do that way? And then you would still have that whole longer area from the front of the building. Okay. Do you want to just grab this? And I don't even know. You can give it back to me.
Moving my building that way.
Right. And see how I just kind of drew that line so you'd be able
Well, I can't change the shape of my curb. I mean, that's I have to take the shape and figure out how to move it. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple challenges that I know are going to come up. I'm not saying that I can't do it. I'm saying that we'll need to definitely look into it. I think we'll need to understand what fire safety says about truck circulation and fire truck circulation on the site. I think that will be one municipal thing that I need to understand. The second will be my trucks and the truck well. Already moving it, the one road that I took away when I originally planned this, the truck dock that you guys saw was a straight-on truck dock. And that's a normal truck dock to me. This is at a 20% angle. And the reason this went to a 20% angle is because of the approach that exists coming off of Riverwood. That would already be taking down an island that we had planned in there. So we're really ending up with a lot of wasted heavy-duty pavement space in that area. Now, what might happen when I move it closer to the road is I do believe I probably will get a row of parking along the back there. Then, again, it might be a discussion on the safety because that's the cross-access that will go from Dental Associates through the entire site. So sometimes then someone might say, well, now you have a space backing into you have the driveway there. So it's going to be a couple things. I'm not saying that I'm not willing to do that. I do know what I will get from my people is a customer. Bill, you're taking away 10 of the most ideal spaces. I recognize that. I also think if we move it forward, I'm shielding my parking from whoever becomes my northern user. So although I'm taking away 10 spaces, those 4 spaces along 27th Street might get eaten up at some point by whoever connects a building next to me where I might lose those spaces anyway. And that would be my discussion. So what we would need to look at this and see and want to meet with staff and some engineers that look at it and say, it's impossible, yeah, it's possible, it's what we need to do. I will take it definitely under advisement. We did look into the 27th Street overlay district a little bit. As far as we could tell, we met the parking standards that no more than 50% of parking between street and building. We don't have that at all. So we knew, as the ordinance reads, or the overlay district reads, we met. There's a couple things that I had some concerns on that I don't need at this time that are bigger challenges for me than moving my building. One would be vision glass. If the requirement's 20% vision glass on all roads, well, Riverwood's going to be considered a street. 27th Street is considered a street. The windows that you see and that you have in your plan there, on the very top, the east elevation is 27th Street, and that's still, I think, only about probably a 12 or 14% vision glass that counts there. So what I tried to do was take the landscaping, and I made that a 4-foot landscaping bed rather than what I normally would do is just a 2-foot landscaping bed. And by doing a 4-foot landscaping bed, it allows me to get some good height and some larger bushes in there to break up the brick facade, because I understand my thought behind the glass, and it's so that someone's just not looking at a plain wall. So what are some other ways that I could do this? I just did a store in Evanston, Illinois, and got it approved, and I was in the same situation. They wanted the building close to the road. And I did one row of parking in this aisle here, and then we did a larger landscaping bed and tried to beat that up, tried to work through how can we make this more attractive. So that's just first blush what I did here. I took that and said, that concept worked there. I should start at that and look for some input. That's probably a bigger concern for me. Ken, you mentioned in our Mount Pleasant store the picture windows that we had. Mm-hmm. There, the request was they wanted spandrel glass, and we went from dark spandrel glass, which we don't like.
No, that's bad.
We said, how about we do some frosted spandrel glass? And then we worked with the planner, and he came up with the idea of, why don't we put some graphics of pictures of the inside of your store, and then we backlit them with some LED lights. The first time we ever did it. And it seems to be working out well. And the plan and the deal we had with Mount Pleasant there was, hey, if these don't work out well for you guys or for us, let us know and we'll go back to a nice frosted glass. We have some lights in there. At least that glass will light up. Because the back of that wall, our freezer panels.
Would it help if we, you know, could eliminate some of the parking and, you know, make some of those design standards with glass more flexible for you, so you could eliminate parking on the front? Would that be something?
I'm more than willing to try and eliminate parking and see what happens. I think right now, as I sit here, because I'm not an engineer, I just don't know if it's feasibly possible. Sometimes, you know, we come up with ideas and we all say, yeah, we'll do that. And I leave and find out I can't do that. And then I go, oh. So I definitely want to look into it. I just know immediately what some of my challenges will be. One will be my team, but more than that will be the truck delivery coming in and how you get that.
Well, I think it's important for everyone to know that this is a challenging site anyway because of the gas pipeline you're dealing with and and where it's...
I can't get any closer to Riverwood. We would love to be closer to Riverwood and pull that to the corner. I'm not allowed. We have it as close as we can get to the gas line, to the pipeline.
Right. So that might be one of the...
We'll be more than willing to work with you on that.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Scott.
Yeah, they keep bringing up that gas line. Everybody knows about it. It's not an issue. You know, we feel it, right?
It's there.
It's there.
By our nature, politicians are sneaky guys. Okay? The reason the Dental Associates building is as close to the street as it is to accomplish the goal of the design standards of 27th Street Corridor without changing the markings. That building's there so that everybody else has to match to it. The Golden Corral and all that was approved, but so really that's key. You know, we all love brick here, one person more than everybody else. But just because it's brick doesn't mean it meets the standards. And I think you all understand, I said it before, I'll say it again, we're looking for a different kind of building. And believe me, I get that the form of the building has to meet its function. I get all of that. I'm asking you to be a little bit more creative. Do something to break up and fix the east elevation. The north elevation, I don't know how you fix that if you don't have a defined building that's going up. I don't know how to fix that. It's going to look like heck, and I'm not going to like it, but you know. But we need you to fix the east elevation. Well, yeah, absolutely, and the south elevation. Those three elevations need to be fixed with something that breaks up the roofline and gives some visual interest. I don't know if it's pilasters or, I'm not an architect, but I know that the building has got to be a little bit more visually appealing and try to hide the box somehow. As for the windows, that's there to keep big, long, empty brick walls out of the place. Now, I'm willing to work, I'm sure all of us are willing to work with you on what that means. But that standard was there on purpose so that you wouldn't have an empty wall of brick. Joel, it would be helpful if these gentlemen got a copy of the DVD. Anytime somebody comes with a place on the street. Because I was talking about it, you know, we're all visual people, right? I'm not thrilled about the red and orange brick, but that's your corporate colors. I get it. But the specifically the east elevation, if you put another parapet, or not a parapet, whatever the cornice, what is it, cornice? What's that called? Where do you get the logo?
It's right? The whatchamacallit.
Yeah, there, that's a technical term, the peak. Maybe another one on closer to the north side of the building. Whatever. That's
the gable.
But again, I don't have a heartburn about the project. I just would like to see it, cleaned up.
Yeah, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Skratzky.
Thank you, Your Honor. My office is in Racine. Highway 20, and I watched this building go up all summer long, and some of the landscaping and everything. It looked really nice. A couple things, I guess I'll jump on the bandwagon and say it really needs to be in line with the Dental Associates. We did that for a reason, and I think that'd be no different here, just have to continue the standard. If you break up the brick with some sort of, you know, glass, whether it's smoked glass or, something like you did down in Racine or Mount Pleasant, I'll be fine with it. So regarding architecture, every one of us up here could and say, oh, I like it this, or this, it would look better if you did this. I'm not going to play that game. If you can move the building to the front and you break up some of the brick, you'll have my support. Simple as that.
Alden Skronsky and then Alden Solomon.
Yeah, the glass idea is great. I wouldn't go with that mandrel glass, that black glass. It's terrible. What you did there is creative. It gives, like, you're looking at the inside of the store. It gives you a better depth perception on what's inside to attract your customers. It's fine. I'd be more than glad to work with you on the architecture in front, because sometimes I get known to be a patron about on certain things, but I'd be more than glad to work with you on that. But I didn't have a problem when we first drove up with the store. I agree with the parking. If we can eliminate the parking to accent the front of your building, which is real important, which would be great. And I understand if you can't, because if that second building goes into the north, you would want a circumference of driveway to get around. Otherwise, you're locking it in. And as far as the fire department, they got enough. If they had a park on the street, they could take care of the service and any fire protection to that building on the east side. And as far as the loading dock, I understand the logistics of that loading dock, which are trucks that would come in, and why you had to put it in an angle coming in apart. And I understand that. So I'm happy with it. The question is, you said that you are not going to proceed or have an anticipated lease of that north section or that north property at this time. So Mr. Baraxis, if he had somebody else to come in, they would then attach that building to your building? Is that part of the agreement?
Part of the agreement is they could attach a building.
They could.
And what we've decided to do up to this point is the north wall, we would still do it with the same brick, mm-hmm. and the same bottom, which makes it a little more challenging when someone tries to attach to it. But
they can
I
take
knew
it off.
It wouldn't fly if I came in and had a standard block wall along there.
No,
so I did put some trees there for now, and maybe there needs to be some additional bow-grade bushes along there to really, because trees and bushes are easy, easier to move than for us to, for someone to attach a building to a wall that has a lot of dimension.
Yeah, that's more expendable at a lower cost than doing the hard cementitious type product. Other than that, I think just decorating that north side of the building, and then it could be, any of those items could be removed in the future, and hopefully it could be expanded, and that would be great. But other than that, I look forward to working with you if you want and assisting you in some of the other items. Thank you.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Olson.
I too agree that you need to break up the east and the south elevation a little bit by putting something in there, even if it's a fake window. If you take a look over at Target over here in the village, they've got fake windows just to make it appear that there's a window there. They did it all with brick and with fascia and stuff like that, so it worked out quite well.
Yeah, do the same thing.
Could do the same thing here to break that up. You wouldn't have to go to a large expense to do that. It's all done with the brick.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Olson, Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I can agree with breaking up the elevation. Since I represent the district, I would rather that you worked with me than another district alderman on the design. I appreciate that. I also respect the opinion of some of the people on the Plan Commission, including Mr. Mickler here and Mr. Polsky, who's done a lot of work on looking at different architecture, although he's not on the Plan Commission. I wouldn't mind hearing what Mr. Mickler, since he was invited to the Plan Commission and he's on the Move Forward Franklin Committee, I would like to kind of just get a little input what he has to say. He also lives in the district that I represent, as well as sits on those other committees. I guess I would like to entertain a motion to suspend the rules to see if he has any comments that he could share on design or elevation.
To request a motion to suspend a regular order of business. Second. Seeing no second.
Well, I thought the idea was that the Plan Commission members were invited here, and this is a committee of the whole meeting, so I'm asking again for my colleagues to allow some other input so we can hear, so we're not making one decision and then someone up comes up with something else. And I had actually requested that the Planning Commission members be invited here, so I guess I would ask for at least some input, because I know that Economic Development Board Committee has some good members on it and has some good thoughts as well. So.
Point of order, Your Honor.
I
could be totally wrong on this. I always understood the committee whole to be kind of like a working session of the Common Council is what it would be, and that the Common Council meeting is where we suspend rules and let people speak. I mean, there is no citizen comment period at a committee of the whole meeting, because this is where we do our business, is how I have always understood it. If I'm incorrect, I'd like to speak to him differently.
Just, you're asking the chair?
I'm asking
the
chair.
That's pretty much my understanding as well.
So it's no disrespect at all to Mr. Miglin, who took his time to show up in that, but
or Mr. Ritter,
or Mr. Ritter, which it's probably good for them to be here also to hear the discussion, because at some point it will come before them, and then they can see what's been presented, what input we've given them, what changes they make between now and when they come to Plan Commission. So, in disrespect, that's how I look at the committee
well,
the whole.
Alderman Wolf, that was the floor.
Well, I've been coming to Plan Commission members much longer, Common Council Committee whole longer than I've been Alderman. And I've seen lots of times, including when there was a suspended at the committee of the whole meeting to allow the members to speak. But if this committee seems to be that they don't want to allow any other input, and then find out later on, that's a disservice to the people that are sitting here. That's unfortunate, because we could have some good ideas that could be aired early on. We have two other proposals on here that some great ideas could be missed simply because our own minds aren't open enough to allow other people's input. And I still have a little bit of a problem with another alderman stepping into my district, because I know I'm so upset that gets when I even talk to people in that district. So I would respectfully request that the alderman of the district be allowed to have a say-so on the architect and the look, and I appreciate the alderman's input. However, the bottom line is those are the citizens I represent, and I want to make sure that they like this as well as people that are represented by the 6th district.
Alderman Olson?
Thank you. And by the way, I don't...
Alderman Schmidt's next.
...mean any disrespect by not entertaining that motion. The Planning Commission gets their kick at the cat, but they need to pay attention to us, not us. Sorry to pull rank, but that's the way it is. Gentlemen, this is 1.93 acres for your part of it. What's the anticipated value of the building? Have minimum values. And I point out to my colleagues that earlier you gentlemen said you prefer 60 to 70 spaces and you have 119. It's 100% more than you
There's 67 on ours. On our half. The overall site.
Oh, well, so you're right in there with what you need. You lose 7, you're still within your range. So.
Well, if I lose 10, I'd be at 57, but I believe I can find them somewhere else. They don't become career shops until you put the employees back there. And,
that's why I asked you, Homer.
So, and I just to remind everyone that we do have a couple other developers we should come in. Alderman Schmidt, you've been waiting very patiently.
Well, it's been very enlightening listening to your proposal. I think we're all pretty excited about it. And I agree with my colleagues that it would be appreciative to see the building move closer to 27th Street. So I think we're almost in unison on that. I'm just curious, you said that you've had 147 stores built nationally. When did you first start with this business?
The first GFS Marketplace store was in the late 70s. We did a few a year and then changed a little bit and have continued to do a few a year since then. Currently, we do about 8 to 9 stores a year. This past year, we did 8 in 2012. We hope to do 9.
So it sounds like you've been in business long enough that you've developed a good track record. You kind of understand your markets and what you're doing. And just to clarify, this is no way a competition with like a Sam's Club because you're dealing more with retail.
Yeah, merchants. From a product standpoint, size-wise, those sort of things, we need to be in Sam's Club or a Costco. The difference for us is we're open to the public with no membership required. So we do compete a little bit with them. We also compete a little bit with grocery stores, but we are a niche business where we have a lot of our own products in there. People learn to love our products, so they come specifically to our store. Something I should have mentioned, we carry about 50% GFS products that will go to restaurants, and we do also carry about 50% national label brands, Heinz, Kraft, your standard brands that you can find in other stores. Our size just might be a little
bit. Just on the plan commission piece, so Mr. Bennett sits on the plan commission. I sit as the chair. Mr. Ritter sat there for, what, 250 years now, and Mr. Miglick, and I would strongly suggest, if you haven't already done so, that you've got, I mean, it's pretty obvious that everybody likes your store, and they just want it to come into compliance with the 27th Street corridor and enhance the whole environment. I can tell you that Alderman Wilhelm is absolutely correct. Mr. Miklick is as smart as they come, and he's got great ideas. And Mr. Ritter is tough, and he makes sure that we watch what we do around here, and it's been here for a long time. So I would encourage you to get the input of the plan commissioners, but do not also remind you that we have an open meetings law in the state, and that you should not have walking quorums and things of that nature. Mr. City Attorney.
I was wondering if you knew whether or not your product line included Besides Delicious, also known as Northern Pike.
I'm sure we can get it.
Be careful, this is a very important question.
I'm sure we can get it. I found out that my boss bought a case of a specific Dungeness craft that was delivered to the store. I just wanted to get it. He's worked for us for 33 years, and he started in the warehouse, so he knows the ropes.
If it exists, you can find it. Pretty good.
Alderman Skraski, and then maybe let's try and wrap it up.
I think everybody was talking about what the south elevation would be. I think on your picture there it doesn't show, but this is would be, I would say, if you do this, would be a picture of what your south elevation could be. That isn't shown on your plan there.
Yeah, and the south elevation here, it's just the wall with the 4-foot landscaping bed. It does not have pilasters, as in that picture, and it does not have windows, but that happens to have graphics in it. Alternative would be frosted glass, but we kept the mullions in the windows.
The mullions between them. We kept those in so that we'd still give the window look, and that is something that we could add to this, which will, I think, enhance the architectural. One thing I'd just like to say, I know this comes out orange, and sometimes
when you print the brick is sometimes a little bit orange. I did bring a material sample board. This is the actual brick. You can see it is red with a charcoal-y sort of look to it. This was the white base bottom. This is the cap that sits between there. This is the EFIS cornice up above. This is the canopy, actual color red right there. So I do have a material sample board that I would take with me and bring to every meeting to make sure everyone, because sometimes colors aren't represented by printers all that well, and everyone's printer is just a little bit different.
I guess I would also just remind the council and plan commissioners that while we really are striving, I told you right from the get-go that this was going to be difficult with the 27th Street corridor standards, but across the street from where you're proposing, I believe, is a car wash, and to the south of that is a very, very old, dilapidated house, and then there's a wonderful facility, I'm being facetious, right on the corner down there. So I haven't seen much movement on the other side of the street yet. So this will be fantastic improvement to the whole area.
Those are the comments that I received by my community manager. They say we have to do what? What buildings did I see going along there? And I have to remind them that there hasn't been a lot put in since the overlay district. You know, they tend to look at a standard Menards or a standard, you know, all the buildings. So,
do you have a website on any of these? Because when I went to your website, it just speaks volumes about your corporation and, you know, family owned and all that.
Either gfs.com or gfsmarketplace.com. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and the last thing is, we've experienced in the last few years where, like the Golden Corral, I guess, your letter, I haven't seen it yet, but where we've had a lot of businesses where we've approved at both Plan Commission and the Common Council, and they just went into a black hole because of financing, not being able to get the financing. I'm just looking at your website and the number of stores you have. Is financing going to be a problem?
Our goal is if we get our approvals, then we would break ground first thing in spring. We don't finance it.
Alderman Olson?
I guess, Mr. Mayor, I'm confused by a couple of comments that I just heard. Is it the city's idea that we strive for what exists, or do we strive for a vision? Do we strive for what's across the street, or do we strive for something?
No, I'm just reminding that they're across the street, that there is a car wash, and that there are there's a dilapidated home on the other side.
And right next door, there's a $12 million building that's glassed and gorgeous. So I guess I don't understand why that's brought up. We want what the community has asked us to get for it, and that's what we're asking for.
I guess in all fairness, Alderman, that... many of the proposals that came in did have a different common council at that time. So
okay, I ask the question again. Do we strive for what's there today, or do we strive for a different vision?
Well,
if we're going to strive for average, so be it. But let's not kill ourselves. Make that decision, say it out loud.
Alderman, I think we've done a absolutely fantastic job of Wheaton Franciscan's not bad,
so
Staybridge Suites. Just met with NML. Like to hear your thoughts on that.
Let's keep going. That's great. So I don't see any need to bring up a car wash across the street when we're striving for something better. Plain and simple. I've said my piece.
Okay. Alderman Taylor.
Well, Your Honor, thank you. The way I understood what the mayor was saying was pointing out across the street at what's there. We don't want that. We want higher quality. I think
that's the case. I apologize.
Yeah, that's what I would expect, because that's exactly
apology accepted.
That's exactly how I read it, was saying we want these high end stuff. That's what we have across the street. He also made a comment. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Well, much appreciated.
Awesome. No, that's right.
Cool.
All right. Next item is concept review for a proposed. Concept review for a proposed indoor controlled environmental agricultural development. Mr. Deedle?
The applicant is here for this item as well. A brief introduction again, and I'll bring the applicant up. This is also located in the 27th Street District, the far south end by Elm Road. Property is currently used for agriculture, has been for a long time. However, it is zoned RC1, which is a residential zoning category. That is not the same as what the comprehensive plan proposes or the 27th Street plan proposes. Both of those plans propose mixed use with emphasis on office. So we have this, the use agriculture, zoning residential, and plans say mixed use office. The applicant is proposing to develop a agricultural related project, aquaculture, or sometimes referred to as controlled environment agriculture. Something innovative, something unique, clearly not something envisioned or anticipated by the 27th Street Plan or the Comprehensive Master Plan. But also, it doesn't fit the zoning, doesn't fit the comp plan, so if this would be approved, those would have to be changed. There are a number of options for the applicant to proceed if they wanted to proceed with this project, everything from a rezoning to creating a new district. Easiest for the applicant would clearly be a UDO text to allow this type of use in that zoning district. And if that was the direction they would go, we'd be recommending that they go for that as a special use. probably would still need to amend the comprehensive master plan if the applicant wishes to proceed and the council likes it. A couple other things to mention, though. Clearly in the 27th Street District, we'll have probably even more difficulty meeting a lot of those 27th Street standards. But it is adjacent to a lot of development that currently doesn't meet those standards. And it is at a far end of that district. And also there were some concerns and have been concerns, and I believe still are concerns about full range of services ultimately being able to be provided to that whole entire area if it was ever fully developed. So clearly there's enough issues to warrant looking outside the box, thinking outside the box, but still it wouldn't be consistent with the plan. We'd have to amend the plan and would have to do something like a rezoning or, as we're probably suggesting, UDO text amendment to allow this type of use. The only other things I can mention right away is this applicant has met with the development review team at staff level. We pointed out a lot of these issues already to the applicant. The applicant has also gone before the Ford Franklin Committee, and the Ford Franklin Committee was very enthusiastic about the project. And I believe that they would wish that forward to you guys as well. They are very enthusiastic about this project. So with that, I'm willing to turn it over to the applicant.
Welcome. And I don't know if you said in your presentation, my recollection is this is also the owner of the land?
The son of the owner of the land?
Yes.
It's like 80 acres or so?
Yes.
And wasn't there also something about a potential subdivision that may be like phase two or phase three?
Yes, I forgot to mention that. There are possibilities for phasing here. The applicant is looking for one module at this time, which would be one set of greenhouses with a front administrative office area, possibly going up to, I believe, five. And then if the plan commissioner or common council are concerned about consistency with the comprehensive master plan, he was working on what the rest of the property could look like in the future to try to bring it closer to a mixed-use feel. And so he did come up with some ideas for that.
I guess when that came forward, I forgot, and maybe Alderman Olson can remember this, that for that area, it was proposed for mixed use, and that a subdivision actually is in harmony with the 27th Street plan, 27th Street Corridor plan.
Well, the zoning, in harmony with zoning, they never went back to fix the 27th Street plan, so the 27th Street plan still shows mixed use there.
Okay.
But the zoning says...
Well, and where Wheaton Franciscan is, there's an entire subdivision that's in the midst of being developed and put in place, right?
Immediately outside the 27th Street.
The reason I bring that up is because when we think about 27th Street, when we think about that, we think about five-story office buildings and all that, and we never... I guess I don't recall that we also talked about mixed use and subdivisions falling in there. So I guess the last piece is that I did tell this gentleman that when he came in that this was part of the 27th Street corridor and that we have very, very high standards. I told you that there are also other properties in the city that that you may want to look at because of this. Said maybe you should talk to Wheaton Franciscan because you're trying to create a very natural product. There's a niche right now. This is, from what I understand, not just talking to you, but talking to others, that there's really nothing like this in this area here.
Yes.
And I did talk to some of the people at Wheaton Franciscan, and they thought that was a very good idea. I don't know if you had a discussion.
I haven't had a chance yet.
And I also talked to Sherry Tussler, from Hunger Task Force. The reason I did so, looking at Alderman Olson, is because I just learned that the House of Correction, they no longer supply inmates for labor over there, and given that the county's budget, where I think they're looking at cutting 1,000 park workers, that there might be some interest, so I talked to her about that. So if you would, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Scott Diller. I live at 5158 South Marquette Court.
Court in New Berlin, Wisconsin, and this is my partner.
Good evening. My name is Don Steinberg. I live at 1085 Horns Corners Road, town of Cedar.
Welcome.
Thank you. What I have here is just a little bit of an introduction and kind of giving everybody an idea about what aquaponics is. And then I can probably address some of the questions that are more specific to how we envision this possibly fitting into the overall 27th Street corridor, development corridor. So just a few minutes that probably help you understand what we're going to do. So basically, what you normally see is traditional farming with tractors and fields and all kinds of things. And what we're proposing is something that's a little bit different. It's controlled environment agriculture, in that everything takes place inside of a structure, most of the time a greenhouse. What we do is we integrate science and engineering to provide optimal growing environments for the products that we're going to produce. And aquaponics is really a combination of two items that actually are part of controlled environment, that being aquaculture and hydroponics, which is growing plants in a soilless environment. So this is really a marriage of those two systems that already are in existence. Our facility would take it a step further in terms of creating a biosecure environment in which the plants and fish grow. And we do that because we want to address a lot of concerns people have nowadays with food safety and the quality of the products that are grown. So this goes a long way to improving those issues. So there really is a science behind it. And what you see here is what we call the aquaponic cycle. And there's three major players. You have the fish, you have naturally occurring bacteria, and then you have the plants. And they all work together in a symbiotic relationship. This is a closed-loop system such that all the inputs into the system, once they're there, they don't require any replenishment or any additional inputs aside from bringing in fresh fish and fresh seeds and then the food that you use to feed the fish. This is a sustainable form of agriculture in that respect, that we can produce actually two crops within one system. So we can produce the fish and we do produce plants. And the waste products from one system actually benefit the other system. So basically, the essential elements of the system consist of the fish rearing tanks, solid removal system, a biofilter and a hydroponic component, and then a sump. Basically, the whole system is run via gravity, and you need one pump to run the whole system. I just want to focus a little bit on the raft component. That's the major part of our system, and that's where we grow the plants. And basically what you see is a series of polystyrene sheets that actually float on the water. The raft tanks are only about 12 inches deep. And you put holes into the polystyrene, and you drop the seeds into the holes after they've grown and sprouted, and then the roots actually go down into the water. The nutrients that are excreted by the fish are broken down by the bacteria, and then the plants are able to take up the nutrients and grow. And in return, the plants are removing a lot of the pollution that would cause the fish to die. So there's a lot of ammonia and nitrites that the fish produce. The plants, through the uptake of the nutrients, purify the water and return it back to the fish tanks. So that's what we mean by a closed-loop system. This is the system design. Our system has been based off of 20 years of research, and it's been proven to be a successful design. As I stated before, it is designed for the production of plants. And the professor that designed this system has had a commercial system up and running for about 10 years. And within that particular system, he's never had to actually change the water out of that system. He's had to add water due to transpiration and evaporation, but it's the same water that's been in that system continuously for 10 years. So it is a proven system. What we want to do is bring it into the urban environment. This isn't actually a picture of what it's going to look like, but people have been wanting to bring and grow produce locally, and that's our whole concept, is we want to basically decentralize the food production system where it's consumed, it's produced locally and consumed locally. And like we say, we can, you know, locally from the farm to your table on the same day. Some of the benefits is, again, is it's sustainable, it's continuous, we can produce the product year-round. The fact that we integrate fish and plants, we get higher yields of both. All the produce is considered organic. We don't use any pesticides, any insecticides, or any chemical fertilizers. And because we are raising fish, they're cold water species, they're not susceptible to pathogens. And since we're doing things in soilless medium, you don't have to worry about soil-borne diseases. So again, this is a very clean product. You take it right out of the raft and eat it. And again, it uses very little water. As an example, a head of lettuce that's grown in California requires about 24 gallons of water to produce. In our system, that requires just 1 gallon. So we want to look at how this possibly can fit into the city. And, you know, we look at this as being a pod. As Joel mentioned, we would do this in a couple phases. So we're in the designing and plan phase. What I'm showing here would be one module, which would consist of three greenhouses, approximately 84 by 100 feet long, and then we would have a Galleria connector building that we would just be able to connect all the greenhouses together and provide the biosecurity for the system. So we would initially build one module, and then the second year we build five additional modules to complete the entire pod, which would consist of six of these independent modules. The investment to the community, we would probably employ, when it's fully operational, 15 to 20 people. It's about $1.5 million project, and probably gross sales would be about the same, about $1.5 million a year in gross sales. Here's a picture of what it would look like with all six modules in place. There would be some additional features that we would add, and I understand some of the concerns about being in the 27th Street development corridor and trying to address some of those. We could do this in such a way that we can plan for the future. What I was proposing to do is, you can see the intersection, the circle is the existing cul-de-sac that's there right now, and then 35th Street would be running from top to bottom. And I would probably set aside about a 70-foot area, which could be a future farmer's market or some sort of open-air market that could be an architecturally nice piece. It could be kind of the focal point of the area. And I know it doesn't necessarily meet with your guidelines of having hard edges along all the streets, but sometimes it's nice to break up that hard edge with a little bit of an inset. And this could be, you know, a focal point. I've also kind of broken up the front mass a little bit by creating little bays for the loading docks. It is what it is. It's a set of greenhouses. So, you know, you can't dress it up too much because, you know, it still has to function. So, moving on. What we will be selling are high-quality products that are going to command a premium value in the marketplace. And we will be working towards the latest industry trends of selling living herbs and living lettuce. And essentially what that is the plant will be pulled out of the system, you clip the roots, and you put it in a package. It's still alive. It still continue to be alive for a number of weeks. And what that allows us to do is, when it's in grocery stores or even when it's in your house, it will stay fresh for a considerably longer period of time than when you take a head of lettuce home. And in 3 days, it's worth it. We want to eat it. This will actually, you know, we've had a head of lettuce for 10 days in the refrigerator, and it's still good. So it is an interesting concept. These are the products we'll probably start selling. Obviously, the tilapia, fresh tilapias, what the fish is that we will be producing. The fish is more of a means to an end. It's kind of the engine that generates the energy for growing the plants. The plants is the more valuable part of this system. And our first initial focus would be on culinary herbs, tomatoes, and lettuce. And then as the system stabilizes and becomes established, we would move into some higher-end medicinal herbs, possibly into the pharmaceutical products, things that might be other ancillary industries that would look for purified products like that. So that's basically what it is in concept.
Okay. Questions, comments? Or do you have any questions for the members of the council?
I included in the packet a master plan of what we kind of thought about how this could be developed in the full 80-acre parcel. We're only requesting a 4-acre parcel that this would sit on. And ultimately, if you guys decided that you didn't even like it, it's something that could be easily removed. You know, it's a slab on grade, it's a greenhouse. And, you know, if 10 or 15 years down the road, there was a higher and better use for that area, you know, it could go. Along those lines, if you were to incorporate aquaponics into a theme, you know, we're thinking about doing mixed use, possibly, you know, you could have a restaurant attached to an aquaponics facility. You could have aquaponic modules in a residential configuration where you had maybe one module and a series of houses around it, and those people would actually cooperatively grow their own produce within that module. So, you know, there's unlimited ways that this could potentially be developed. And I really see this as a trend in the future. The controlled environment agriculture is really here to stay. It is something that is sorely needed. And it isn't going to replace traditional farming to the fact that you probably can't produce that much. But it does go a long way to solving a lot of the problems. And we do produce a lot of produce on a very small footprint.
Okay, Alderman Schmidt, and then Alderman Taylor, you were going to miss.
First off, I'm glad to hear that the start of the cycle involves fish. Otherwise, it starts to sound to me like the concept of Soylent Green. is this something that you put into development for a long period? Has this been employed in other parts of the country before, or how new is this concept?
It's a fairly new concept. Like I said, it was developed by a professor at the University of Virgin Islands over the past 20 years. He has a system there that he's run commercially. There is another person in Wisconsin in New Freedom, Wisconsin, that just put in an aquaponics system about equivalent to the size of one of our modules, and he's been up and running for about a year right now. So we are working with a consultant that's designed this system that is based on this professor's research. And it is a proven science. There are some other aquaponic systems in the area, Growing Power and Sweetwater, which do not necessarily use this design. And their systems are a little bit more of a hybrid. Our system is really geared towards the production of produce, and it's designed that way. I don't personally have I haven't built one. This will be the first one.
Alderman Skransky and then Alderman Taylor.
No, I think it's a great, innovative, and futuristic looking at what people are looking for, natural foods and things of that nature. The time of the fish to the market, what kind of life cycle is it and that do you have?
Yeah, for tilapia, you're looking at about 7 months. And okay. Within 7 months, they go from fry that are approximately 2 inches long to a market size, which is about this long. So they're very fast-growing fish.
Okay, so it's pretty much
turnover is quite high at tilapia.
Okay,
that's why
right.
That's the fish that you tend to hear about more because of the growing cycle.
Okay, do you reproduce that fish in this facility, or do you get the fry from another source and bring them in and then have it?
We actually get them from another source. The engineering company that Scott mentioned that designed this system has all the import licenses. So a lot of their customers, like us,
their engineering company, actually purchased the brine from them. They bring them in. They've got all the permits for crossing state lines, and then we buy whatever we need directly from them. The producer, the biggest producer, as I understand, is a company out in New Mexico, somewhere in the Albuquerque area. They're the ones that I believe sell the majority of the tilapia fry that are raised in, I know, in this area, but throughout the country, too. Yeah,
because they're not native to this country.
Right. It's a non-native species.
Right. And the SERV facilities, what would you need it for SERV?
Sewer?
Yeah.
We don't really need sewer facilities. I mean, because it's a closed-loop system, we don't discharge anything. So the only sewer facilities we would need is for the occupants, the people that would run.
The employees and your guests or customers that would come in.
Customers wouldn't necessarily.
Okay. And again, how long is the water good for?
Forever.
Forever, so it's self-cleaning itself and
right.
And keeps going through the system and doing the production.
Right.
Okay, that's all I have for the moment. I'd like to ask later.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I remember I was at a DART meeting this summer and sat in on the tail end, maybe the last three quarters or so of your presentation, and I thought to myself, well, this is strange. And the more I thought about it, it's interesting. Something we should maybe take a look at, consider, think out, like Joel said, outside the box. And then you called me up, and you wanted to talk about it and put it on the Fort Franklin agenda, which it came to. And we had all five members and two potential members who spoke in favor of it, so it was a 5-0 unanimous vote. You could call it 7 if those two were members. And I'm sure we'll hear reasons why this is not a good idea. Same reasons why we heard that Wall Diamonds on County Line wasn't a good idea. And I look at the location. You have a strip club, you got waste management, you have pallet business, you got a cement business.
Triple E.
What?
You need a septic system.
Yeah. So then we have an 80-acre parcel of property that's at the very end, at the very edge of the district. And I think to myself, how many years is it going to take for something to get there? And let's say we put up something like this, and you have a worldwide corporate headquarters wants to move there. They want that location. Now, they have to overlook everything that's around it, but they want that location. The right price, you probably sell. It's not something that is it's permanent, per se. And I think these are the things we need to look at doing. Something that's unique, something that's different. Because we can look like every other corridor. That we can do. We can be a little bit more spruced up. Let's hand out the DVDs to everybody and show, this is how we want it to look. But those DVDs were done before we had an economic meltdown. What's reality now, what we can get? And, I thought to myself, I'm sure we'll hear why we can't do this. But at the same time, in my first 3 years up here, I rarely got a phone call from the Journal. Now, almost on a weekly basis, I'm getting a phone call. What are you guys doing? You've read the articles. People are starting to pay attention to what this community is doing. And I remember when we went to abolish the EDC, one of us up here said, people are watching what you guys are going to do with the Economic Development Commission. People are watching if this is a power grab. But you're absolutely correct. People are watching. And they're picking up the phone. And they like what we're doing. So I support this. I think it's different. But I think it's going to have some potential to grow. Like you said, maybe a future residential area or some retail and a restaurant. And the reality is, if you take a look at the 27th Street corridor, the reconstruction with the DOT, what are they looking at now, Jack? College to Rawson?
Drexel.
And the likelihood of the rest of it could be 10, 15, 20 years. So I think you look at the location where it is, and I fully support it.
Alderman Solomon?
Well, I support what you're trying to do 100%, just not at this location. I think I've said that before for a couple of other things in this location. And for anybody that thinks the Stiff District is going to proceed and get paid off with $101.5 million is grossly inept at adding the dollars that are going to be required to put that TIF together and get it paid off and move forward with other industries. If you want to play the TIF off, pay it off ahead of time, fine, and then forget about the TIF. Then I don't have to worry about things like that. These comments would go unfounded. But the dollars aren't here to support the TIF district. Great concept. It's just in the wrong location as far as I'm concerned.
He's on the nail.
Yeah, I understand. No, I understand completely. It's just not in the right location.
How far do you think it would be before that area gets developed?
Until Elm Road is put in, it's probably going to be within 4 or 5 years before something goes through there. Yeah, once the new interchange is done. 2 years after the interchange, it's going to go like that. Guaranteed.
And if it does, I'm more than willing to remove it. Because the land would be higher and better use if someone, like you said, a corporate headquarters came in there. I had no problem taking that building down. Those greenhouses, which are plastic and metal, on a slab on grade, and taking it out. The equipment can be moved, and I can be located.
But that's just another cost for the future developer. They're just going to look at that and move forward.
I doubt that.
Yeah, and again, this is a concept review. It's meant for so that you get the input from the council and the council gets input from you. So, and what Alderman Solomon is saying is not inconsistent with any position he's taken in this area before. So.
Yeah.
Alderman, were you done, Alderman Solomon?
Yes, I'm done.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Wilhelm.
This would be great on the other side of your parcel. I understand why you want to put it where it is. Incur the cost of a road or access. If this was on the west side, no problem. I'm in 100%. But I hear this all the time. They can tear it down later. Schmidt Ready Mix Concrete Plant. Randy, you were around at the time we approved that. What was the statement? By God, it's no problem. It'll just be temporary. 15 years later. And now it's causing us an issue. Sure, Alderman Taylor's count that as a negative. We talked about vision earlier. This is great on the other side of the property. So let's run the numbers a little bit. If you were not to develop, let's say a major financial institution wanted to put their corporate world headquarters on your property. They don't use developers. Most big corporations don't. They do it themselves. So they're going to come in and say, how much? And you're going to come up with your negotiable number, which will be high, of course. That's the way it is. You're adding in the cost to tear down your building. You'd be a fool not to. So to sit here and say, it's no problem, I'll tear it down, just drives up the cost of the building. And under normal circumstances, if you were in downtown Milwaukee, I have no issue with that. Because there is no more land in downtown Milwaukee. But surrounding your parcel is all sorts of empty land and will be for a while these developments happen. Until that area is totally sold out, you got snowball and hell's chance of getting anybody to offer on your property because you've got a building on it now. It's a fallacy to think that somebody will want to buy it. People aren't going to knock down doors to buy the Schmidt's Ready Mix property because there's a building on it. They don't want to have to pay to tear it down. When they can walk right across the street and get a similar parcel. So let's quit with this. We'll tear it down later. I mean, it didn't work with the ball diamonds. It's not going to work here. But I love your idea on the other side of the property.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'm going to provide you a little more positive support because I actually not only like your idea, I see it as a vision for a draw. That would want to come here. And I really like your idea of the public market, marketplace. Anybody that's been to the public market in Milwaukee knows what a great success that is. And we already have a hospital in the area where you could be supplying food to the hospital, which would be a great thing for the hospital. This could be integrated with the things like restaurants, which you have that opportunity across the street, which would be open the golf course area. And at the Forward Franklin meeting, there was someone there who knows one of the Bartolotta people and said she would be more than happy to talk to them about the possibility of the open golf course in that area. So I see it as a draw, and I don't see it as a negative. And I don't see a whole lot coming in there right now. And I'm not sure it really goes with the continuous care center. I mean, I understand that these are concepts and ideas that you're trying to put out, but I'm really open to it. I'm open to, you know, let you do something with your land that can bring us something in the future and make it into something that could be a draw. And have us help you work toward something that could be something very unique for Franklin. And, you know, so I'm hoping you'll get a little more support from the rest of the people. I know that the Forward Franklin Committee gave you quite a bit of support, and there's some movers and shakers on there. They know quite a few people in the community, and hopefully they can help you get the support for some corporate headquarters that would want to locate next to you. I can imagine if Northwestern was looking for a spot and they could get their produce for all the restaurants right next to them, maybe this would be, you know. I just said this as an example. I have the floor. You're not supposed to talk.
Alderman Wilhelm has the floor.
So anyway, those are my inputs, and I guess I'll wait to see what the rest of the
Okay. Now, Alderman Taylor Schmidt Skronsky.
Thank you, Alderman. Thank you, Your Honor. I was called Your Honor.
Sorry, I was.
You got one meeting, I kind of forget it all. I saved myself, you know. Bravo, Alderman Wilhelm. Once again, you can talk about vision. What is the vision for that area? You know, we can talk about, like I said, what everybody has, a corporate corridor. That's what we're going to have. You can also look at, maybe that could be we have Wheaton Franciscan, which is a small of what it could be. It could be double, triple the size. That could be a health and wellness area for southeastern Wisconsin. But it's so easy just to say no. We turned down, before my time, a $70 million medical facility or medical building. Why? Didn't meet the standards. Alderman Solomon, that would have been helping paying off that TIF. So we could have an empty cabbage field for the next 20 years, which will give us nothing. What is it, $400 an acre?
I never got to the Common Council.
Or we could actually have something there. And I don't know how many offers Schmitz has had to sell. I mean,
Alderman Taylor, you have the floor.
Think about it all. So, you know, we can sit up here and go round and round. I can do math. I think you can do math too. So far, here three. We'll hear what Alderman Schmidt has to say. That's what matters.
Alderman Schmidt, and then Alderman Skronsky.
First, make it clear, I have nothing to do, I have no relation to the Schmidt Ready Mix.
Oh, sure.
Oh, darn.
Maybe I should be. They haven't contacted me about it. No, I have to concur with Alderman Wilhelm. This type of futuristic planning with the food cycle, I think it has the potential, if this continues to grow, that it could garner some national recognition of this type of thing takes off. And I certainly think that Franklin would be more proud to be on the news for this than our neighbor is putting in a super Sonic burger place or something like that, because this has a lot more beneficial use to it. And, you know, if it does have to be torn down, well, at least it's primarily a greenhouse. It's not like you do have a huge brick structure that would have to be torn down. So I'm enthused about it.
And actually, if I may just...
Sure.
It's more of a deconstruct, because you can literally take the entire facility, other than those slabs, you can literally take it apart like a record set, and I can pick it up and move it to another location. So at some point in the future, they do want to sell their property to the corporate headquarters. That unit, the greenhouses, the tanks, all the clarifying systems, everything can be deconstructed and picked up and moved somewhere else. It's designed to be done like that. It's designed to be moved if necessary. So it is not permanent. I don't know much about Schmidt's ready mix, but it's not a permanent structure other than those slabs, which will probably be broken up.
Alderman Skrouse.
Well, if you need the concrete, you're going to have a close proximity. You won't have to pay travel costs for the concrete because it's across the road. I can understand, as a property owner, you would like to do something with your property. I think I believe the concept of what you're doing is within society's need for produced food, healthy living, and things of that nature. So you kind of fit into the concept of where the public is looking. I do not have a problem with the project going there. And I understand there's some concerns by my colleagues regarding for the future, and I'm very futuristic myself, looking at what that could be. Plans could be a multi-million dollar convention centers in that area and things of that nature, corporate center. But your concept is very innovative and futuristic, that could work, and I'm sure it will work. If somebody had to remove it, it's like you say, you have an erector set with plastic on it. The most cost of taking down a building would be your entrance center, your office, which would be at a minimum cost, you know, at a high rise. So I think it's going to work. I think you would have a good thing. I understand you got property there that you've been cutting the grass on or maybe leaving the weeds go at the end of it. I agree 100%. We worked very hard, this council, is to get that Elm Road exit in, because it means without a question, the development of that particular corner of Franklin that we are desperately in need of to make it really viable in the 27th Street quarter. I think you're innovative in what you're bringing here, and I will support it because I think you have a good idea and it'll work. As far as what the lifespan would be, and it's like anything. If somebody comes in and wants to buy it, they're going to understand where the costs are. And if they want to pay the price, fine. If they don't, they would. I was at the time when that concrete plant was approved, and we didn't think it would be that loud, but it was there at the time. That was the thinking at the time, and it worked. Somewhere along the line, yeah, if it has to come down, that'll have to come down too. But it all depends on the buyer of that market. As far as that future medical center that was supposed to go in there, that was a very good thought that it should have went in there, but there were a few people that didn't like the big buildings in the back. They wanted them in the front, which was totally ridiculous because it would have totally destroyed the architecture of that completely complex. And that was Ryan Construction that was going to bring that in. So, and that could have been here today because unfortunately there were people that should have given it a little more thought. But I think you're what you want to bring to the community, I think, would be good and may spark more of that type of business that would be profitable. We're here to serve the community. But, again, anything is replaceable after time. Thank you.
City Attorney.
I fully understand your earlier statement when you said fish is a means to an end. But have you given any further consideration to the staff comment that the development of the UT made about possibly Bird Short to McGill's?
Let me just say that the reason people use tilapia is because it's a very hardy fish and it's durable, but perch is probably a much better fish. And we do have some colleagues that are actually putting in aquaponic systems with perch in northern part of the state. So you can work something out. But the other thing is perch have about a year life cycle versus the 6 month life cycle of a tilapia.
Fish fries
all.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You can see it.
But the tilapia we grow, you would really like in fish fries.
Your Honor,
you got I think a very good response from many of the aldermen here. But as I said right from the beginning, This is the 27th Street corridor, and it's not just a matter of standards. We have ordinances, we have laws, and Mr. Deedle talked about that there would have to be an amendment to the ordinances. And so I don't want you to go away thinking that, okay, you maybe got four or five people up here. All of those things are major. Those are major changes that would require public hearings to change, and it wouldn't just be your property; it would be all of that property on there. Last thing is you know, I really do think this is a very exciting project, and I hate to have situations where we have great businesses that want to come in and want to start up, and we rush to the word no. Franklin is 34.5 square miles in size. We have a lot of areas here. I just want to say that if this, for one reason or another, when you look at all the numbers and all that, please don't or do not just make a decision that that's it and there's no other place in Franklin. I think there are many places in Franklin. And I mentioned to you the right now you have the fish farm over at the House Correction. I don't know, you may want to watch the budget discussions that are going on at the county board this week. That has always been on the block the last four or five budgets. That's one location. We have some land on Rawson Avenue that this may be a fit. So I just want to say the last thing. I really do think this is you're really fitting a niche, and you know, you got the number one fan right now is living in my house. Her name is Carol. The way that people shop and what they look for has changed tremendously. I would not bother me at all if Franklin was seen as the place for getting that type of product for the next 50 or 60 years, and that it grows and grows and grows, and the hospital uses that product. We have restaurants, and people are coming from all over the nation just to get your product. So please don't rush to, no, I'm trying not to, and we'll help you any way we can. I think these two gentlemen over here have also said that it's not the product, it's just where it's being proposed to be located.
Paul Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And you're absolutely right. I have no objections. I love the concept.
On the west side.
The issue that I have that nobody's talked about is, what do we do about Elm Road? What do we do about 31st Street, 35th Street? Because you're going to need access to it. I guess this is an engineering question, but I just raised that because there may be additional cost. You may have to extend 35th Street out.
I think we can just tie it. Our property touched the cul-de-sac.
I don't have an answer. That was a question.
Okay.
That was,
no, I'm an architect, so I can answer.
You know.
But I think.
But, you know, we may not need fire department access because it's hard for water to burn. But that was just an issue that I didn't hear raised that might be a concern.
Alderman Solomon?
I would check with engineering because we do have local rules as far as extending streets and what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for, and I do believe either 35th Street and or Elm Road will be somewhat of a cost to you, maybe not the whole thing, but part of it.
I assume you would just do a dedication for the future.
Well, that assumption may be what you're assuming, but that may not be what the city rules and regulations are.
Have you garnered what you need to garner from the council?
I think so.
Okay. And council members? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Item D is concept review for a proposed mixed-use development, approximately 7,000 West Rawson Avenue. The Hintz Group and Mr. Deedle, I think, the Mayor Hintz in the back?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Do you want to introduce the project?
Again, this is located on Rawson Avenue, just west of 68th Street. This is the vacant property behind the Farmax Distribution Company. We've got that steep slope of the woods in the back. It is zoned B2 general business. What they'd be proposing would not fit there. They would have to rezone it to something else. Discussions are centered mostly around creating a PDD. They are looking at overall and ultimately a mixed-use development, although residential component would be primarily what they're looking at in the first phase, senior apartments. They are they have already met with the development review team as well, so we have talked about some of these issues with them as well. I guess the biggest thing to note on this particular property and project would be there most likely will be impacts of natural resources in addition to the woods. There's some wetlands on the east side. The amount of impact on that is not known at this time. If they have to connect to 68th Street, the driveway, the impacts would be greater. If they can pull everything farther away from the north and the west, they probably won't have to impact the woodlands, at least mature woodlands. And I guess the other idea that they're thinking about is after this concept review, they're thinking about possibly going through the natural resource special exception to see how that works before they would pull the final trigger, or the owner would decide whether they would pull the trigger. But these people are just representing the owner, trying to see what the opportunities and possibilities and likelihood of approving the project in the state. So again, the applicant is here willing and able to go into more detail on the project.
Okay. I guess while he's coming up, I had the pleasure of sitting at the same table at the ICC with Mayor Hintz. Also have had lots of conversations in the past and sought out his advice on things like North Shore Fire Department, because this is the gentleman that pretty much put it together. And that little project down in Glendale called Bayshore, Mr. Hintz is the brains behind that and the revitalization of that entire area. It's a great honor to see you again. It's as far as I'm concerned, you're one of the all-time good guys. So.
How do I follow up on that?
Yeah. Alderman Olson?
Thank you. Mayor, I'm kind of nervous when you're sitting there. And I'm getting a little bold. So, anyway, I bet I can hold my own right now.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a lot of information here, but what we see, I'm good with. I just have a couple of questions, and then I'd like to hear what my colleagues are going to say. Do you have an estimated value of the project?
The first and foremost, I'm Jay Hintz, and this is my partner, John Clement. Do you want my address? It's 6936 North Bravery Lane, Glendale, Wisconsin. My community is only 6.8 acre total, and it's a total infill. So we have a little series of problems that are a little bit
different. You got kind of a nice project there in that foundation.
That worked out.
We could probably cover the city on one greenhouse.
Like I said, we had a different series of problems. When you're told it's an infield type scenario, it's totally different. So, John, do you want to give them your address?
We're not on 27th Street. My address is 1818 North Water Street, Milwaukee, 53202.
As Mayor Taylor indicated, we are actually employed by the owners of the property, SCAN, and we were contacted by Connie Kaminsky to do a highest and best use evaluation. They've had it for sale under several individuals over the course of the last few years, and it's happened to be the Planning Commission people. There have been multiple people, many to be exact, who have been and had a first kick at the can on that particular site, and he indicated that we were the first one who came back. So he was excited to see us, and we went to the development committee, and we had I thought, a very productive meeting. We're fortunate because in this particular case, Mr. Kaminsky had contracted with Grafe, and I don't know if this is going to be reduced or not sufficiently. And I apologize, I just got this back. Otherwise, I would have reduced it and sent it off to you folks for review. But this was the Grafe study, and I think that's rather beautiful for you folks. But basically, what we talk about here, and I don't know if colors have come up on this or not, but this is a yellow line here, which is the outline of the 2.1-acre wetland. The blue is a steep slope, and this is the orange is the significant slope that has the highest grade gradient. This is a 10.25, it's red, is a 10.25 acre parcel owned by SCAN, three gentlemen. And they asked us to take a look at the highest and best use. And quite frankly, by virtue of the ordinances within the city of Franklin, with the steep slope, we're only allowed to build on
20%.
Is that the, that to take a look at this? But I believe it's 20% of the city. And when you take a look at our concept plan, I happen to have an individual, a senior housing project, who was looking for a site in your municipality. Now, his concerns, obviously, are very simple. You know, he needs about 5 to 6 acres to build on. And when we take a look at where the wetlands is located and the steep slope is located, then the mature tree scenario, the environmental corridor matches, you know, pretty much like this. It's very difficult to find 5 acres on this particular parcel that works. So we have found an affidavit. An affidavit that, quite frankly, from Del Seaver that identifies back in the 1970s, he actually took 10,000 cubic yards of structural fill from this property, and that came right out of here. And again, that's important to understand as we approach more of the discussion with your municipality as it revolves around steep slope. Is it man-made, is it not? The DNR and Sewer Pact, they don't care if we took 10,000 acres out of here. All they care about is they go into this particular site and looking at the vegetation and the water levels. This is a wetland. They don't care if this 10,000 acres came out of it. Doesn't matter. We know that ultimately for us to be able to deal with this, we need to work with both the DNR and Sewer Pact and wind up with, in the mitigation, winding up with exchanges. As you look at the site, concept plan that we offered for you folks, on that particular site, 40,000 square feet, less than an acre, would be required to be mitigated with our detention ponds. Otherwise, the wetland would remain pretty much intact. We are prepared to, we understand that we will be using a 1.5-to-1 ratio offsite to be able to replace that one. We also understand that in the creek, which has been back here, in talking to this potential, if I can solve this, he may be interested in buying his parcel. And again, that's a huge for the operator. He doesn't know for a fact that this is going to work, because he doesn't know if we're going to get 5 or 6 acres building the property. The mitigation on the steep slope is, can we build into it? The elevation would be from this portion of the property, you would see 4 levels, the lower level being an underground parking. From the concept plan, the actual entrance and visitor parking is on the top part of the slope, and there you would see 3 visitor floors. At this point, we do not believe we will be touching the mature woodland. We believe that we will be taking some of the young trees that the landscape plan would offset with more than a 1-to-1 ratio, placing those young trees. In talking to the individual who gave us the site plan, senior housing individual, that is not OVDA funded. It is these individuals have private funding, so it's bank funded, so we will not have any tax credits involved in that site. It's 160 to 180 bed. About 45% is going to be independent living. About 40% will be assisted living, and that little square down here is actually memory care. Underground is underground parking, which will be in excess of a 1-to-1 ratio of beds. There will be 75 to 90 full-time jobs, 3 shifts, 75 to 90 full-time jobs with that individual. Again, we're using that individual as a concept. If I can solve the steep slope and mitigate the wetlands, he will consider the site. And that's the best I can tell you. So, as a result, we're coming to you to get concept. Senior living,
has an interest in the site. It may wind up, if they're not, it may wind up with market rate higher apartments. We don't know. So we open ourselves up in a question. One of the questions we would ask from you is to get a response if, in fact, our senior living individual is winds up saying, I just can't make this work based on what I'm given as far as these local lessons. What would you like to see in this particular site? We're open. We're out here looking for a highest and best use. These people that are employing us are like your last gentleman who has a site that wants to sell.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I'm sorry.
I asked a good mayor question. I don't think I got an answer.
Well, I apologize. I gave my preliminary. So
I understand the nature of
politics. I am a politician, so I guess I do have a tendency to do that. So if you'd ask your question again, I'll be more than happy to
answer. Well, given your presentation, I don't think you have an answer, but I was asking for estimated value.
Yes. Well, this individual on that site plan is $15 to $18 million. They do have an existing building that they are completing in about a 35-mile radius of here.
Can you move that down to South 35th and Elm Road? Anyway, okay. That's a great answer. Mr. Mayor, can you also... I would suggest maybe that Franklin's got another issue we're about to head into, and that's having too much senior housing. So I would urge that you and your potentials take a look at that.
Sure.
My district alone has almost 2,000 seniors in it, and that's concentrated in one area. Mm-hmm. And the other question would be is, would this be a taxed entity?
Yes. Yeah. It's a for-profit. So, yeah, it would be a taxed entity.
Thank you.
Well, I was going to kind of save the too much high senior units, but it's true. I mean, we have an awful lot of them, and I understand it's you know, there's a need. There is a parcel on 51st Street. I don't know what size it is, but the church tried to build it. Joel, do you know what size that parcel is on where 51st Street?
Market.
It's over 5 acres anyway. It's way over. Yeah. So it seemed like that would be a good place for it right there because you don't have all these issues. But before you go into that, I just want to give you a little my input on this. From having residential homes along Rawson Avenue, it's been a big mistake. And you provide the buffers toward the front, which are great. However, I had hoped that our most heavily traveled corridor that's taken care of by the county, that we don't have to pay for plowing and stuff of that road directly by the city, that we could have more business development, especially coming down from 76th Street. That was my hope, that we could have more business and retail in that area. I know that every time we try to put something in after a residential place comes in, we get a huge opposition. And I know how strong the senior opposition vote is. And I can just see this goes in, and then you're going to want to put these things in front, which haven't come in. And then you're going to have all these seniors saying, we don't want that there. And then everyone on the council is going to cave because the senior opposition provides a huge voting base. And I just see it as a negative for the business aspects for this quarter. I've got the Ross and condominium that's on 35th and Ross, and those people are opposed to more business development because they don't want the traffic. And that's what's going to happen here. And if you really want to help us out, bring us some more type of business, put a nice restaurant there, help us build our community center there, or you know, something that we could add on to that would accommodate and or something. But and now since you know I know a lot of the natural resource features, I'd like to make a couple of comments about that. I guess I've always thought that the F in Franklin shouldn't stand for flat and featureless. However, on this site, because of where it's located and its access to Rossville, I don't really have a problem with the slope issue and making that into something. It would be nice if you could incorporate a multi-level building that wouldn't have to take up those features. But if it's difficult, I really don't have a big issue with that. I also don't have a real big issue with the impacts to some of the resources because of the location. I do understand, though, it is a big corridor. It's a primary well-known corridor.
Yes.
So I don't know what the new sewer pack rules, what that allows you to do, but that's kind of an issue you'll have to work through. I've always had a problem with our ordinance as far as this flat-out mature and young, because it's not about young size, it's about the type. You can have extremely significant species like a mussel, which is a blue beach, which can be 75 years old and only the size of my arm. And yet, you could have the whole thing in Buckthorn that's 25 years old being this big around. And I've been trying to encourage the rewriting of the ordinance to protect the resources that we need to protect. And I see that, you know, you've made some attempts. In this situation, it would be worth it to have an opinion on that. And we always fear about going toward the quality thing, because then you can get someone coming who will always degrade the quality. I don't know, to me, if you're going to go for a special exception, it might be good to have some quality assessment so people are understanding what kind of trade-off that they're doing. I think it's a place where we should be having businesses.
Mayor, could I
respond to that?
We're caught in kind of a conundrum. We're employed by the property owner, and they're asking us to mitigate the features to give them more buildable acres. Obviously, they've got it sold, they've got it for sale at a price per acre. And so the price usable acres is really the determining factor in what the return on investments are. So we're trying to find ways to mitigate. I used the senior center as only an example of how we would like to use the hill. So we're not trapped with a senior at all.
That's good.
Okay, we're not there. However, you know, again, that's why. And ultimately, any ideas that you have, commercial is fine, but if you look at the site map more, it doesn't work. There's only a little bit like this, and they run into wetlands. And I've got a little bit like this, and I've got mature trees and steep slopes. And it's very difficult to put commercial on steep slopes. One of the bloggers this morning suggested that there would be a manufacturing facility. Okay. But so this particular site is a difficult site, I guess.
So well, one of the things, no matter what you do, if you're going to do something that's going to incorporate more walkways to connect whatever goes in there.
Well, if we get the senior guy, he'd love the walkway, you know, around the lake and through the conservancy down in front.
And also to connect to the coffee shops that they would have to walk in the street.
Right, exactly right. I apologize.
I think it's Alderman Schmidt, Alderman Skaransky, Alderman Solomon, and Alderman Olson.
I think working it into the landscape there, I think the Polish Center is adapted to the landscape, that you have a lot of maintaining the natural beauty there with everything surrounding it, that I think this concept too could well blend in with, as opposed to trying to put in a Target or a Walmart store in here where you have to level everything and just create another big concrete jungle. And the fact that there is the potential to develop the coffee shop, we seem to have a lot of people here that want to drink coffee and can't find a place to go anymore. But those are additional projects that would be coming to play later on. If this
probably
first part gets built.
Secondary, yes, it would be an outcome for sure.
So I see there's a lot of parking in front of those stores too. That would be something else, I guess.
Well, we in the development committee, we saw the comment about parking, put the parking behind the commercial, and that's doable. But again, working for property owner, civil engineers can get expensive, so we try to minimize these are all things that we'll do.
Okay.
it on site. They're very encouraged. Sewer pack, we got to them just a year late, and so they shut down new projects for the year. So we're going to spray them sewer pack. With what we basically we've got, I really don't think that's going to be an issue.
Alderman Skransky.
No, I think the concept of what you're putting in there, whether it's senior or residential use on it, I think it's fine. That site's been sitting there for a long time. I remember back when Mr. Casey owned that property, and then it went to a developer, and the developer had a very nice project that was going to be put in there. For some reason, it didn't go, and it matched into all the amenities of the wetlands, and it would fit very well. I know at the time when Mr. Siebert did the digging out of that property and to expand it and take the topsoil out, it was all approved at that time. I think the property has been sitting there extremely long, and of course with the economy, that didn't help it along to have it developed. I think what you're putting here is a good concept and can make it very beneficial, of course, to not only accessibility to the seniors on a major road to get out and walk and get to shopping centers and things of that nature. The retail in the front that you could have in, whether it's a coffee shop or something else, could help support that center and those people in there. I think it's a good idea, and I think it has some great potential, and I admire you for grabbing onto it and representing the owner in order to do something with that property, and I hopefully come to fruition. So, great.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Olson, Alderman Taylor.
This is the fourth plan I've seen in this parcel. This even got us to change our PDD from 20 acres down to, was it 5 or 10? So the previous proposal like this, similar to this, was probably 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah, at least. And
which was this one. Right.
There you go. Yeah. Funny, they look a lot the same, don't they?
And it worked.
It's a very, very difficult site. And I like the retail in the front on Rawson Avenue. It makes a lot of sense. If you can connect to the trail, it's going to be going around the lake with the hospital. And those individuals, I think it would be just kudos to you to get these babies filled up. I mean, that's going to be an entity that is going to be just fantastic for anybody moving into this area. I am in favor of it. I understand about the natural resources on the site, as long as you're willing to pay for the mitigation of the wetlands. I don't have a problem with the steep slopes, because it appears in your letter states that they were naturally caused. Not naturally caused, but caused by humans, and we can work with you on this. We'll make it happen.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Mayor, you know, everybody said it, and it's true. This is a tough site. It's probably the toughest in the city, based on the steep slopes, the natural woodlands, the wetlands, all that. You know, it's a terrible site. If you can make this work, I'm all for it, and we should make whatever ordinance changes. We need to change the ordinance, to change that ordinance, to change the definition. So let's do that. But I would urge you to get moving. And the one thing that I've discovered over the past 10 years with elderly parents, they want to be where there's traffic. Right? They want to take a look and see what's going on. So being on the roadway or overlooking the roadway, not an issue. And as a matter of fact, in front of the park, the Loomis roadside runs faster than the backside. So, good job. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
One quick comment again. I'm afraid of the mayor. The senior center.
Shocked.
The Polish Center is encouraged by seniors, and they really want me to do something with the seniors, because their whole community, or their whole membership base, would probably fill this up. So it would fill up relatively. And then secondarily, in my community, unfortunately, I had two female members of the board, so I had to change alderman to alderperson. So I'm accustomed to alderperson,
But what I would do with that ordinance, I would also change it to a native species. Because normally native is given.
That's right. Alderman Olson, you still have the floor.
The other thing is, Mr. Mayor, I commend you for following us, working with us on the sex offender ordinance. That was a stroke of fortune for you guys to come along with us, and I appreciate that very much. It needed to be done.
Alderman Taylor, and then Mr. City Attorney.
On the Wilhelm comment about politicians caving to put up pressure or something like that. I don't do that, so that doesn't bother me. I don't think you put residential on major roadways. I want to support, you know, we talk about Redwood, I want to support that, its location. I want to represent that. If this is going to be residential or living, seemingly, no, I don't really think you do it. What are we doing here? We're going to pull, we got 76 in Rawson, we got 51st in Rawson, and you want to continue, and they're going to put some housing or residential living, senior living. You do something, bring something back commercial, I'll support it. This, I won't. Now, I see what I'm hearing, that there's support for residential along major roadway. That's fine. You may have the numbers. Like I said, I can count also. But I don't think that's smart planning. We talk about looking in the future. Why would you break up that type of street, 51st to 76, even past 76, where we have the proposed of a hotel behind the People's Choice Car Wash, and then he owns property across the street. But I went to support it doing what we did on Loomis Road, even though it's a very nice facility and it's a good place for our seniors, and maybe someone owned the land. I don't know all the history of it, but I should have wouldn't have done it. So that's, if you want my opinion, it's commercial.
Alderman Olson.
Well, Alderman Taylor, I agree with you. I did not support Redwood Park for a number of issues, but being on the street was not. I go back to my experience tells me that elderly do not want to be on major streets. So I take that with a grain of salt. I would love to see this commercial, but I've been involved in this city since 1991. I've seen I've seen a lot of proposals for this land, and they just don't work. You can't. You can put a professional office there. That'd be great if we could do it. But there's no market in the city for professional office. So you can't put that there. You put flex space, how do you get a truck in? You can't. This, and then you look across the street, that's the condominiums. It's making a silk purse out of a sow's ear as far as I'm concerned. So,
I understand that one. Explain that to
Mr. City Attorney.
What? Senior center does return, and as part of the concept here, have you considered maybe a cross access over center, or maybe some association rules or maybe restrictions where residents of the senior center would utilize the trail at least twice a year, once in summer, once in winter, to go fish?
I know, I was waiting for a fish thing. Exactly, I was going to say.
He's selling fish.
I was wondering when it was coming. Something with fish.
Yeah, he's selling fish.
All we need is access to the trail. The trail parallel the lake.
Your Honor?
Yeah, very quick. And that's that I have been around here. Maybe I used to use the word hundreds. Probably been longer in the public sector. That's probably what it is. I think the number one goal of the city is to try and achieve the 70-30 tax base. You're saying that this project is, if it gets in, is taxable. The other thing is that I looked at the blogs. I saw that Mr. Miklik weighed in this morning on that about the coffee shop, because there was some questions about, well, why are you going to build another coffee shop when the last one went out? Well, Mr. Miklik, I think, hit it right in the head. There was extenuating circumstances, had nothing to do with clients. The right. Place was busy as heck. It had more to do with people raising rents down there. So I still get from a lot of people that they want coffee shops in the city, and I see that you are proposing. One of the smartest things I think that has occurred in downtown Milwaukee was when John North was said, folks, you can't have it all commercial, because when you do that, you just drive out the clientele. So nobody's going to use it, and crime is going to go through the roof, which it did. And since they started to return the condominiums to Wisconsin Avenue, not all of it, but that's what sparked more development in the historic Third Ward in those areas. So, you know, I think you were talking, did you use a figure of like $18
million?
Okay, $15 to $18 million development with commercial in front of it. Right, that's without the commercial. But you're proposing commercial.
That's that senior job.
You're promoting commercial in front of the facility.
Right.
I guess one thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see maybe a full package proposals, coffee shops. There's a lot of coffee shops. We've had some that have not done too well in the city. I've had a huge demand for a long time for name brand coffee shops. Starbucks is one of them that comes to mind.
Caribou Coffee.
Caribou Coffee was another one. But it needs to be, the coffee shop needs to be more than just a place where one walks in, gets a cup of coffee, and walks out. It's got to be a meeting place. It's got to be kind of the center of the community, which was what happened with Five Star Coffee. There was also some comments on the blog about, well, you've got open storefronts in down in the Orchard View Shopping Center. Well, yeah, and one of the things that you need is you need clients to come in there and to do shopping, and you need to build a whole downtown atmosphere. Last piece is, I saw on the blog that the owner, the person that's moving this forward, the property owner is Conrad Kaminsky. That's Connie Kaminsky. And Connie Kaminsky is one of the founders is the founder of the Polish Community Center. My recollection, he's the gentleman that started Polish Fest. And he was either the CEO or president of Lincoln State Banks and may have sat on the board of directors for the Franklin State Bank. So that's when you say Conrad, it's Connie Kaminsky who was instrumental in the entire development of the city of Franklin. So just throw that out there.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I like what the mayor said about the full package, because when you do have whoever moves in there, residential, senior, at least you can say we told you so, something was coming in there. And one thing you might want to think about with the Oakleaf Trail there is a bike rental and an ice cream shop, because it would be a wonderful destination place because of the sidewalks and getting into that area. And you might be able to expand that out into other recreational type uses that would work. Rollerblading or whatever type of things, make use of that trail that's right down there. How many people would walk right from the Oakley Trail up the sidewalk to get ice cream? I mean, you'd probably have the hottest spot around.
Coffee shop serve ice cream.
In all fairness, the reality of the trail is truly a positive feature for senior housing. The thought process of a coffee shop is, the other building is a half again big, so the other building is about 3,000 square feet, so you definitely could have two or three entities within there, and one of which could be ice cream, Baskin Robbins, or sausage. One could be a sausage shop, sausage and cheese.
Could resist.
In both cases, one of the things that in meeting with Mayor Taylor, one of the asks and requests that he had made is that whatever we bring into here, that we have outdoor seating, have it as a meeting place, so that people can come in, have a cup of coffee, have a session, be able to sit down and talk without an awful lot of noise in the middle of it, so that you really have an opportunity to have a
ICC meeting you want right there.
You
know, the key to those commercials is having somebody here that's an automatic user, or having a trail from the Polish help this sell. Traffic, the access, the entrance and egress off of Grossen is all working. So that's really the highest and best.
If it's a healthy younger senior crowd, they could get on those tandem, those big things, and they could go down
and
eat healthy.
But they do. They walk. Yeah. I mean, the real key to that trail is those independents will walk. Will they bike or roll up late? I'm getting close to that group, but I will roll up late. I have a tendency to be on the ground more. I have more pads than I have wheels. So,
but bike rentals would be for the community.
Olman Skronsky?
Yeah, at the time, years back when the other project came in, I talked to the DNR about putting a walkway and gazebos through that wetland that would attach to the trails and everything else, and they were very enthusiastic because they can't say no to it because they have them in all their state parks, and it does work. And to put those rest areas out there and just enjoy the environment that is there rather than to say, what the hell, it's just nothing but cantings out there. So there are many things, and I have a lot of pictures to prove that fact very easily. It's a benefit to that project.
Have you gleaned what you need to glean?
We certainly have. And again, if this particular body has any other thoughts, but I understand that there's on your part, Alderman Taylor, that you don't want seniors. You don't want seniors, you don't want residential. We're open. I mean, we're highest and best use. This is concept. You know, we have to sit down with Connie this week. He's coming back from Reno, so hopefully we'll come back whole.
All depends if he smiles.
Yeah, we'll know real quickly. We have a bowl of oatmeal over in this conversation. But, you know, we're going to sit down and talk to him. So anything that you can get back to us, that would be great.
Can you bring us a Panera's? Everybody has a Panera's.
You know, that is one of those things that we've talked about. And Panera, quite frankly, right now, is looking.
Yeah. And for those of you that haven't met Connie Kaminsky, the word gentleman, it's, you go in the dictionary, his picture's right next to it. So. Well, thank you. Nice seeing you again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next item is, let's see, Common Council agenda setting. And I don't know who wrote the piece up. Is it your city attorney?
I provided in the initial lengthy paragraph, from a staff standpoint, I did speak within the last week or so to the treasurer's administration, as well as the city clerk. Thought was maybe to look for more council direction on it for a few reasons. Somewhere about 3 weeks ago, I did a very rapid other municipality search. I didn't see anything very different than what Franklin currently has. And the few that were, in a real rapid fashion, just appeared to me to have the same questions which might be raised by this new legal opinion, which is different than the three prior separate general counsel opinions from the league, which were in effect for 20 some years prior thereto. Number two, if you did do that at face value and just say, okay, the Common Council sets all its own agendas, noted in here that another problem is that even notwithstanding the current governmental effort to streamline all governmental processes to make the process more efficient, something won't get on an agenda for other than new business. And then the council will spend the time voting on a new category of new business with all these items on it to decide whether or not a particular item comes back in 2 weeks. So theoretically, you can add almost 2 weeks to every single agenda item. Number three, and I'm not reading from the report here, but staff really could not recall anything anywhere near serious problem with the current process. And with regard to this new, well, relatively new, from the league, just for press rest of the time I had to cut Mr. Roberto off, but he has totally parsed that opinion, and I think his little opinion would be that it's self-conflicting or something along those lines. I suggested the last time this was before the council that there's interpretation involved in everything, and it becomes almost any practical matter without some form of delegation. And I don't know that what's in existence right now is in any way a problem. So anyway, the thought was to bring it back to the common council. Otherwise, we could do some drafting on legislation, but for every possible category of agenda, subject matter, that's going to be, if you want to make it a perfect world and not legislatively delegate anything, every category is going to have 4 or 5 standards, whether it comes from staff, whether it comes from citizens, whether it's from other elected officials, and there's going to be judgment calls involved no matter what you do. So I don't know that you could ever make it perfect.
Okay. Alderman Olson, Alderman Skransky, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Solomon.
I have no issue with the way we do it now. The only thing that we could improve upon, even though it's not been an issue, I'll be clear, it's not been an issue as far as I'm concerned, is that we need to have some assurance, whether it's informal or not, that an alderman can place something on the agenda without veto authority. That's my only issue. And it's not been, and again,
Alderman Skransky?
I agree. I think the system that we're under right now and the way it's been handled and everything else, I says, why change something that don't need fixing? It's not perfect. But I don't think there's ever been a time that an alderman could not request for something to be on the agenda. I think we're all grown up here enough, I hope so, that I think the system's working fine as it is, and I'd say stay with it.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Solomon.
Well, I guess first I have a question I'd like answered, and I'd like to retain the floor. Does, I guess the opinion of the city attorney, the page 21, the order of business on 19.2, define the current process as far as placing things on the agenda where it says agenda prepared by the clerk?
City attorney?
Yes, no. I think... it speaks to the clerk preparing the agenda. That's an administrative function. We're talking about, okay, subject matter, content. And that's why it ultimately has been for 20-plus years been combined with prior legal opinions, which say in the absence of any statement to the contrary that the mayor does not have such authority in the ordinance form from the county council, that the chief executive officer, mayor, or village president would ultimately have to say so on content of the agenda.
Okay, so if I wanted to get something on the agenda, what is the process I would have to do?
Call the...
Yeah, the current process, I understand it. And by the way, I've been following the decision 311 for, I guess, since I was an alderman, is to call the clerk. Clerk, usually we go over the agenda on Thursday, or usually Thursday or Friday morning, and pretty much says what's come in. I know that department heads, they come to me before they put things on. You know, I watch the agendas from Board of Public Works, Plan Commission. Well, I look at Plan Commission all the time. But normally it comes into the clerk's office, and she assembles or prepares the agenda and basically tells me what's on.
Well, normally I wouldn't think there would be a problem, but I can think of an instance where I had an issue. And so, you know, I would like to be able to put things on the agenda without having a problem getting things on the agenda. And not be told you didn't tell me ahead of time or something like that. I rarely bring things forward, put them on the agenda, just because every time something comes up, it seems to be an issue, which it really shouldn't be that way. And I don't think I've brought up anything controversial or... I love Ken's look. So I'm fine with the current... current process, as long as you don't have people playing politics because they don't support a certain project that you're fully for and believe that you're doing something when you're not, and so therefore they don't want to support your item. And it has been a problem. If we can keep the process the same, I can call the clerk and ask the clerk. It's not anything where I'm trying to make some horrible resolution for the city that's going to harm the city. I would think that it should be okay without having to say, well, I guess I have to force it on the agenda and get another alderman to do it with me. So if we can agree that that's the process, I'm fine with it. But I'm not always very comfortable that that is the case. So someone can I'm not the one who brought this up. I think I'm the one who made the motion, but I think Alvin Olson was the one.
No, I brought it up because of the the League of Wisconsin Municipalities article and having a brief conversation with the city attorney. I think what needs to be done is that just basically the council tomorrow or whatever just says keep the same system and move on with life.
As I guess one of the things in here, there's two things in here that it talks about on page 22. It says the mayor arguably may overrule the request of a particular element to place something on the agenda. And then later on in bold, it says, I'm inclined to think that in the absence of an ordinance or a bylaw, the mayor may very likely would have the power to set the agenda. So I'm fine if the mayor wants to set the agenda. What I'm having problem with this, and it's not just this mayor, it's all current mayors that, you know, if an alderman has something they need to bring forward, they feel like they're representing 5,000 people, they should be able to do that unless there's a real strong reason why a mayor may override the request of a particular alderman. And what sets that? That's what it says here, and that what it says here is when we don't, absent an ordinance or a bylaw, then we're back to a situation that can happen. So is it the city attorney's opinion that in order to prevent those, we should have an ordinance or a bylaw?
City attorney?
Well, I think I thought through everything when I put this report together, and actually what came to mind was I heard this often during the 1990s from Mayor Clements. It's a big book. I haven't heard them since then. So it's been a long time. I think that's where I ended up, and for whatever it's worth, one thing I forgot to add in here was the current league and FAQ. Subject, we still have the old conclusions from prior openings.
Well, I noticed that citizens have been able to request to put things on the agenda, and they've gotten things on the agenda, which I find that some citizens are able to get things on the agenda easier than older men sometimes. I don't like to see that happen. And that's a concern for me. So if it requires an ordinance or a bylaw that citizens have no more authority than an alderman, that I would like to see at least some confirmation on that or something.
Alderman Olson?
Here's the deal. Let's just all be adults, right? Tom, all you have to do is say, I'm not going to veto anything, and we move on. That's all that has to happen. We can all be friends and respectful colleagues. Disagree, but
right.
They say, yeah, we'll put it on, we'll discuss it later.
Right.
So that means you're actually
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Skransky? Alderman Taylor is. Alderman Taylor.
Well, I think it was Alderman Solomon, then me, then Olson, but that's how it all in Solomon go.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Skransky.
Yell at him.
By the way, it's
trying to.
Yeah, it is difficult. You may raise your hand, but if you don't keep it up. I'm writing notes on Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Skronsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Number one, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Number two, we have to have some discretion up here also. When you put something on the agenda, don't just put it on Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning and you don't have staff input on what you want to do. Don't surprise anybody, the staff, the mayor, the other aldermen. The easiest way to stop that from happening is to, if I don't like what you're bringing forward, and that's the first I've heard of it, I just refer it to the next committee at a whole. And we should all do that. But I do not agree with changing our present procedure, because at times, and I've seen it happen more than once, we need to get something done this quick. And instead of having one special council meeting, you'll end up having two. One to look at new business, and then to do the business the next day. So there's many times that we have to operate very quickly. So you don't want to put a roadblock in. And if we feel that we don't understand something, and staff hasn't had a shot at it, we have to have some consideration of those individuals also. Then we're going to have to, you know, at least give everybody a heads up as to what's going on. That's why the committee of the whole is a very neat little scenario. Just refer to the committee of the whole if you don't understand something.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Skronsky.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. I'm going to say a few things here. First off, in terms of putting things on the agenda, out of courtesy, every time I ever put anything on, out of courtesy, I call the mayor. I let him know in advance. He's never told me no. If he would tell me no, we'd have a problem, because we have the right to put something on the agenda. But he's never done that. I've always called him. And I can't see him behind the scenes trying to manipulate agendas. So if it's not broken, don't fix it. I agree with that to a point. Now, I'm going to tell a little story. In La Crosse, we met once a month. Tuesday, Committee of the Whole, first Tuesday. Thursday was Common Council meeting. At the end of that Common Council meeting, if an alderman wanted something on the next agenda, they read it into the record at the end of the meeting. If it was going to be, let's say, a resolution, an ordinance, something coming, that way you gave your colleagues notice that something's coming up. You're not going to know exactly what's in it, but you're going to have an idea of what's coming. Because when we get our agenda packets, like 10 days before the meeting, at least a week, which here we get them on Friday at 5. Now, we meet twice a month. We get them Friday at 5. Okay, so that means if you want to talk to business people, you got Monday and Tuesday. Now, if you're not retired, you got a job, it's very difficult. You have a weekend. Now, if you're out of town, you can't pick up the packet Sunday night because you're traveling, whatever, you have very little time to read the packet, especially some of the ones we've had lately. So my suggestion would be, I agree with Alderman Solomon, we need to just do stuff like this, that's one thing. But if we want to talk about a dog leash ordinance or a resolution for wetlands or some ordinance change, that we can give our, and just change it. At the end of the meeting, if you're going to bring, an alderman's going to bring something in, you read it into the record. That's what we did, you knew in advance, it's not a problem. That's something to consider. I would also say on vouchers and payroll, forget this roll call garbage. Let's change the ordinance and just make it a simple up and down vote. Do we really need to do a roll call? Because, 5 years ago an alderman made it that way? Is that incorrect? It has to be that way? All right, well, then it has to stay, I guess. Darn it. I thought that'd be a simple thing we all could agree on. I want some clarification.
Would you take a fish?
Yeah. So, I don't think it's broken, but I would be disappointed if any alderman was denied putting something on the agenda. That is, we are elected to represent 6,000 people. We have that right. But out of courtesy, as Alderman Solomon talks about being surprised, we should think about changing it. That if you want to bring something in, you do it at the end of tomorrow night's meeting, and it'll be on the following, so you know in advance it's coming. Those would be my suggestions.
Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Wilhelm.
Yeah, I think the present system we're working under and it's been all courtesy given to everybody that's sitting up at this desk, is, and I have to agree 100%, if it's not broken, don't fix it. It needs tweaking once in a while, and I think it's all the due diligence to everybody sitting here. Don't bring something in on Friday at 9 o'clock and ask Sandy to put it on the agenda, because it doesn't give anybody a chance to look at it and read it. We all don't pick up our packs on Friday. You pick them up when you can and occasionally. So, I mean, let's do a little justice. And as far as doing name calling, just because somebody, and Kristen, you do it enough, you don't like my expressions, tough. That's your prerogative. I don't belittle you because of your expressions on yours. So let's not get into that. That's unprofessional. But there is, at no time that I've ever seen, and all the time I've sitting up here, that anybody has ever been denied with reasonable time to put it on the agenda to talk about it. And if we don't like it and we don't like it, we vote it down or say, look, we need more discussion, bring it on to the next time. I think that's fine. But why should we go into all this? There's a difference and a change. It's ridiculous. Let's get on with life. We sit here on an informational meeting. We're here at 9:15. We started at 6:30. We're almost 3 hours into this on a meeting, a whole discussion. And I'm sure everybody, it just has nothing else to do in life. And if we read our job description, madam and gentlemen on this council, it's one sentence. That's it. We have no more authority than a citizen. We are all citizens until the six of us sit down with the mayor and this council. Then it makes a decision. And we can change things or not, leave them alone. That's my two cents worth.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
Well, I don't think that the suggestion to have it discussed at the previous meeting will work for several reasons. One, I'm looking at what the league has in here, and it says that the new business agenda item is contrary to the Wisconsin Open Meetings Law, since this such subject matter designations by themselves do not satisfy that. So, and also what Alderman Solomon said about we need to get things done. Sometimes you have to put it on at the last minute. Sometimes you have to wait till Friday to put things on at the last minute. I'm not going after anyone saying that they're suggesting some open meetings violation. Don't take me wrong and jump on me all over that. I'm just saying that this is what the league sentence says here. It's not directed at anyone. You don't need to jump down my throat about the comment. I feel like I'm up here defending myself every time I say something. You know, and if you don't want me to feel this way, then quit jumping down my throat about everything. That would pretty much solve and put an end to that. So what Alderman Olson said about mayor, just something as simple as, I will be as open about placing things on the agenda within reason, making that statement, I think we can just leave it the way that it is. I don't think there's really any problem, as you know, as long as you know, you're notified and go to the clerk and put it on. That's the way it works. That's fine if it can work that way, and it does. It requires the mayor to make at least some kind of commitment to the aldermen that he will give them a fair shake. And
Mr. Ritter, you need to move more.
I can handle that.
So
what a movement.
A positive movement, Randy.
That's right. Alderman Wilhelm, you have a point.
So, yes, it does require the mayor to make some kind of statement that he can be just as fair as the next person about the agenda, and there shouldn't be need any changes for that. And short from that, I don't really see that we're accomplishing anything else except just ignoring what could be a possible problem with anybody.
Alderman Olson, and then Alderman Taylor.
You know, listening to all of you, and I do. Everybody's saying the same damn thing.
That's right.
Mr. Mayor, don't veto anything. Let's move on. And be courteous, and let's move on. Move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved. Although, I will say that I did ask the mayor for a commitment that he would not.
There's a motion to adjourn. It's been
but he won't do it, so that'll never happen. So.
Yeah. But the motion to adjourn is always important.
All right. I'll say it tomorrow night.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. I was just going to ask Alderman Olson.
Excellent.
To do that.
Thank you,
I don't know if I'm going to withdraw my motion.
Hey, they're okay. Looking at me funny.
Alderman Taylor, you have the floor.
You're on.
All right. All I'm going to say is there was never new business at the end of a common council meeting since 1959, for sure that I know, when Bernard F. Maney was elected in La Crosse. At the end of a council meeting, they read what they were putting on the next agenda. So unless La Crosse for 50 years has been violating state open meetings law, I don't know what you're reading, because it was not new business. It was just reading, this is what's going to be on the next meeting. No discussion.
Okay, there was a motion to adjourn. Is there still a motion to adjourn?
No.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Is there a second? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We're adjourned.
Your turn.
So tomorrow.